father was saying to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Thursday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, just a reminder, when Biden took office, the average 30-year fixed mortgage was 2.7%. Today, thanks to his bold leadership and policy, that rate is now 7.4%, day 1196. Keep it the Eric in America. Say hello to Easy.
What's up?
Good afternoon to you, putting the heat in Heather.
Hey, guys.
Double H is here. We'll hear from her. Heather has answers in the next hour. Dark History, the top of the third. Our buddy Michael Breen and the Kemmer. Top of the final hour. We're going to have some, maybe have some weird remarks times. Let's squeeze a lot in here and, you know, because we're just back today. Leesburg Bike Fest tomorrow. More on that later. Supreme Court is hearing the immunity case right now. And I got to tell you, so far, there's been some pretty compelling arguments on both sides. And when you think about it, it's a fairly, you know, it is a rather complex issue. Whether a president can be charged for a crime for something that he did while he was in office. And they've thrown around all kind of things. Do you think the president should be able to assassinate someone or one of his political rivals and not be charged with it? And, you know, it gets super silly like that. This is John Sauer, who is the president's, one of his attorneys.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it. For 234 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts. The framers of our Constitution viewed an energetic executive as essential to securing liberty. If a president can be charged, put on trial, and imprisoned for his most controversial decisions as soon as he leaves office, that looming threat will distort the president's decision-making precisely when bold and fearless action is most needed. Every current president will face de facto blackmail and extortion by his political rivals while he is still in office.
Think about that. Right? If it's known now that you could just bring a former president to trial with some charges, and maybe even imprison him for something he did while he was president as an official act, think about the power you'd have over, that your political rivals would have over you to under the threat of imprisonment.
Yeah. I mean, you look at other countries have done this. That's exactly how other countries work.
Look at Brazil.
Yeah.
The implications of the court's decision here extend far beyond the facts of this case. Could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly lying to Congress to induce war in Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by drone strike? Could President Biden someday be charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally for his border policies?
Yes. Yes, on all three of those. I mean, let's not forget, W went to war.
After all, this is the guy that tried to kill my dad at one time.
So that's pretty much the only reason, the only valid reason he had.
This guy tried to kill my dad.
You know what I mean? Bang, bang.
The answer to all these questions is no. Prosecuting the president for his official acts is an innovation with no foothold in history or tradition.
Ketanji gets somewhat, I think, embarrassed by him here.
Benjamin Franklin said, as we view...
Sorry, there are levels all over. This is the diversity hire from the Biden administration.
Benjamin Franklin said, as we view the prosecution of a chief executive as something that everybody cried out against as unconstitutional. And what George Washington said is, we're worried about factional strife, which will...
No, let me put this worry on the table. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office? It's right now the...
And they get to this later. What they get down to is, well, she's asking a question. Could he just kill a political... have someone murdered? Well, that's not a... there couldn't be an official act. Like, I'm signing an executive order that I'm going to kill him. And, you know, and that shall be. You know, that's not an official an official act as a president. It's not a proclamation.
Yeah, but weirdly... that he could have someone murdered in a weird roundabout way of doing it.
Yes.
Where he could say, hey, this person's a threat to, you know, something or another. And then you go and say, okay, well, we want to send this soldier to go kill that guy. That's the president just sent out a hit on this guy. But because of the way they roundabout it, they say the president he didn't actually commit any murder. Right. So
fact that we're having this debate because OLC has said that presidents might be prosecuted. Presidents from the beginning of time have understood that that's a possibility. That might be what has kept this office from turning into the kind of crime center that I'm envisioning. But once we say no criminal liability, Mr. President, you can do whatever you want, I'm worried that we would have a worse problem than the problem of the president feeling constrained to follow the law while he's in office.
I respectfully disagree with that because the regime you've described is the regime we've operated under for 234 years. There has not been an expectation based on 234 years of unbroken political...
All right, let me ask you another question.
You know... Alito was talking to Dreeben. Dreeben's the special prosecutor here. And he said, so if the president gets advice from the AG that something's lawful, is that an absolute defense? And Dreeben said, yeah, that's his legal advisor. And so later you could accuse the president. He said, the AG told me it was lawful. And that is an absolute defense, according to the prosecutor. Then he said, Alito said, well, wouldn't the president just pick an AG that'll let him do what he wants? And Dreeben just kind of sat there.
Now, could the AG be prosecuted?
I would imagine. And I think it was Clarence Thomas. He wonders why past presidents haven't been. This is where it gets really sticky legally here. Why haven't past presidents been prosecuted for laws they broke? And he brings up Kennedy's Operation Mongoose. The Kennedy brothers were obsessed with Cuba. And so there were all types of in Operation Mongoose, from high level decisions and covert operations after the Bay of Pigs failure. The Pentagon had plans for infiltrations, sabotage, espionage, regime change. And they ultimately wound it down, but there was millions of dollars dispersed in CIA funds to get all these things. And all of this comes out later. Now, what is that? Is that illegal? I'm certain that Cuba would find it illegal. Is it illegal for the president to order espionage and coup, you know, regime changes and orchestrate coups in other countries? That's where it gets sticky, because normally, wouldn't you agree that that's not something that morally or ethically the United States should be getting involved in?
I mean, you can tell by our leaders that all scream and stomp their feet saying that Russia keeps messing with our elections, which we've done to many, many other countries to our personal benefits, which is to overthrow leaders that we consider not democratic enough.
Right. But if a president, say Kennedy, whatever, does this for whatever disturbing reasons he and his brother were absolutely, you know, they're obsessed with Cuba. And you know, mainly because the Soviets put a missile there and ostensibly to protect Cuba or whatever, but whatever it was,
they also like vacation there. And yeah, it was ruined now.
Yeah, a lot of fun there. It wasn't really, is that a lawful act? And certainly nobody in the United States is going to, if they were doing something that wasn't completely lawful, but it did further the interests of the United States. Yeah, no one's going to really, right, or, you know, blink an eye over it. Here is, and Breeden just says, that's because crimes weren't committed.
Over in not so distant past, the presidents or certain presidents have engaged in various activity, coups or operations like Operation Mongoose when I was a teenager, and yet there were no prosecutions. Yeah. Why? Yeah. If what you're saying is right, it would seem that that would have been ripe for criminal prosecution of someone.
So, Justice Thomas, I think this is a central question. The reason why there have not been prior criminal prosecutions is that there were not crimes.
There were not crimes. So, it also counts on who's prosecuting these, or who's alleging the crime, right?
Well, yeah,
if people in your own United States are alleging the crime, well, here is the venue. The venue is the United States of America. Crimes we've committed against other countries. What's the venue for an international, you know, espionage trial? Because Mongoose became complete public, I don't know, back in the 80s, and all of the stuff was unredacted, and everyone saw all of the millions of dollars and all of the, I mean, we were planning terrorist attacks, for the love of God. but who's to prosecute that crime? Obama, droning an American citizen abroad, that's murder of an American citizen by a United States president. And I would believe that the venue would be, the prosecutor would be whomever is his kin or his family may be, right?
Yeah, and the state that he resided in.
Right, because that's certainly unlawful, but he did it as president. If you're going to prosecute Trump for that, why couldn't Obama be prosecuted? Why couldn't George W. be prosecuted?
Yeah, because they falsified documents to basically push us into a war.
Right. That seems like a long, long way to go. And most importantly, to prosecute one man. But more importantly, I mean, look what they're risking, putting on the line here, presidential immunity, whether it exists or not. I'm sure every Democrat alive in America would love for their president to have immunity while they're in office, right?
Yeah. I mean, the problem with it is that it is a broad subject. Where does the immunity end for a president?
Right.
And it's never been written down. It's never been fully clarified what immunity actually is. It was made that way because of the fact that the president had to make a decision. You have immunity over that decision, no matter how good or bad that decision happened
right.
to be.
The founders believed in an energized or energetic executive. But what you're putting on the line here is presidential immunity itself. You could shut the door on it right now. This could change every presidency from here on in. And it's odd that you're arguing against immunity for the president of the United. You know what I mean? Because they're going to have a president again.
Yeah,
they got one now. They've got one right now that could be arguably charged with several crimes once he leaves office.
I mean, once that'll be the norm. It'll be that because of the fact if immunity is gone, you will, every time something happens, they will come after and try to figure out if there's a crime that you committed.
I want to play Trump's response. He came out of the courtroom. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing for sure. They thought that keeping Trump under wraps in New York City and all these trials was a brilliant plan. I think they're going to regret it, keeping him in that city for 5 days a week. Listen to some of the welcomes he's getting.
USA! USA! USA!
He spoke to some union members.
USA! USA!
Thousands of people show up outside the courtroom to chant USA. And he, of course, had something to say when he emerged from his courtroom today. Let me see. There it is.
As you probably have heard, some very big things have happened, but the biggest seems to be that the GDP just announces all the way down to 1.6%, and it's heading south. It's going to get worse. Gas prices in California were just also announced at $7.60. Gasoline is going way up. Energy costs are going way up. And the stock market is, in a sense, crashing. The numbers are very bad. This is Bidenomics. It's catching up with him. It's lucky that it's catching up before he leaves office as opposed to after he leaves office. But this is Bidenomics. It's destroying our country at the border, destroying our country with other countries. They no longer respect the United States. I think the dollar's in tremendous trouble in terms of currency. This is going to be the standard, and it's going to be the standard with me. With Biden, you're going to lose. The dollar is the standard. That'll be like losing the biggest war we've ever lost. And it's a shame, but it's all the way down to 1.6. And I'll tell you, nobody thought that would be possible.
Yeah, GDP 1.6. They want 2.4,
yeah.
They thought. Which is still not really good.
That's way lower, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like trying to hide those job growth numbers like they keep trying to do and all the other inflation things.
Revise them.
Yeah, it doesn't actually look good when you finally get the numbers.
Finally, we see things and we know things throughout the recent history and the two-tier justice system, the double standard that exists. Like A.G. Holder being subpoenaed by the Congress and him ignoring the subpoena. And we see it happen. But no one really ever of importance or power or substance ever really calls it out. Until now, kind of a nice change, D.C. Judge Anna Reyes bashing the Justice Department for instructing two lawyers in their tax division to disregard the congressional subpoena in Hunter Biden investigation, all while it's been zealously prosecuting Trump officials for the very same offense. This is real. It happens. It's happening. It's happened numerous times. You got Peter Navarro right now sitting in jail because he defied a subpoena. And now they're flouting the same subpoenas.
Yeah, it's because our people in power on the Republican side don't have the guts to do it.
Do what?
To actually go ahead and push through this type of thing. Actually, yell it to the mountaintops that, hey, this is what's going on. Look at it. They just go, okay, you didn't show up.
I mean, that's that's a pretty egregious double standard. And she's a Biden-appointed judge. And if she sees the problem, I think we're at a tipping point. I mean, how many Democrats have been subpoenaed and they just ignore it and nothing happens? Hunter Biden ignores it, nothing happens. Peter Navarro ignores it, 4 months in jail. I mean, I don't know. You tell me why should Peter Navarro be treated differently than Hunter Biden?
They shouldn't.
We return. This I don't know what to say about this, but if it had happened in the Trump administration, it'd be pearl clutching, hair on fire. a Secret Service agent, the one tasked with protecting Kamala Harris, started a brawl, a fight with several other agents, and it all took place at Joint Base Andrews, where she was set to leave to go do, I don't know, some stupid TV show. What do you say about that?
No clue. What are they fighting over?
Maybe this guy, you think her guy, I think this her body man, is a big fan of hers, and other guys are making fun of her for her dumb laugh, and he's like, hey, watch it, buddy. But I've never heard of Secret Service agents. I did hear of Secret Service agents, what are they, getting whores and stuff down in Mexico somewhere, and champagne, and...
Yeah. But, they got a busy life. Stressful.
It's very, very stressful. We'll get to it next. Wait till you hear the food waste going on at Columbia. I mean, there are starving people in New York City, and these little brats are eating like a 12-year-old would, watching after-school cartoons in the donut aisle. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
They're not big fans.
I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you.
I mean, you think that... who's another New Yorker that people in New York absolutely adore? That they would scream and cheer for?
That's a good question.
They may regret keeping Trump tied up in New York City for 5 days every week.
I know, because he's getting more support there.
He really thinks that he can turn New York State blue.
And you're here in New York City. You're talking with these members. Do you think you can maybe change some of their minds if they were lifelong Democrats to vote for you?
I think these maybe were Democrats, but for me, they're a Republican. There's not a Democrat in there. These are people. Look at that building. Look what we can do. We built a lot of great buildings in this city with these people. And they've given me great support. They're really amazing. You know what? They're very, very talented people. They don't get the credit for it. Very few people can do what they do. We used to do 3 floors a week in concrete, and it was guys like this that did it. So it's very amazing.
He thinks he can turn New York blue. Do you think that's possible? I mean, red.
Yeah, I do. I think there's good parts of it that are starting to at least purple.
Here's another guy on the street reacting, African-American dude.
How was it seeing the former president?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible to see him on the streets of Manhattan, meeting up with, you know, your working-class folks here, the type that are out working hard at 6 a.m. It was my first time ever meeting him, and it was really dope. So,
what's
really
your message dope to Joe Biden?
My message to Joe Biden, I haven't seen you anywhere. I hope New York turns red because we're not voting for you.
That's outside the courtroom. You know, don't you think that maybe seeing the backlash, seeing the reaction, would cause the bad actors responsible for all these prosecutions and Letitia James trying to seize stuff while he's tied up in court? And don't you think that they would see what it's causing and look outside and go, holy crap, look what we're doing? Or they don't care about that, and they still want to get him.
No, because the people that are donating to their campaigns to keep them in power are the people that they're trying to please. So they don't care. Much as Letitia James or Alvin Bragg says, they don't care about Joe Schmo and the hard hat that's putting up the building next door.
Right.
They care about the guy 3 streets down on Broadway that's got an investment banker that's going to throw a couple $50,000 towards her campaign.
Right, and George Soros.
And that's all she ever, she campaigned on. That's all she campaigned on. So if she doesn't get that job done, honestly, she'll probably disappear. Soros will probably get rid of her. because she's not.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Here's a guy, a union leader.
In the past, we are basically Democrats, all of us. And after what's happened the last 4 years in this country, they Democrats are basically pushing everybody to the other side. We're a very patriotic group, and we love our country, and we want the best for America. We are tired of immigration. We're tired of our tax dollars going to immigration. We're tired of the crime. We need to put a handle on things in this country and bring it back to how it should be.
The Democrats have become the party.
The protester diet. Isn't it ironic that as these anti-Israel, Hamas, terror lovers are sad about the poor Mohammeds in Palestine that they don't have food, they can't get aid, there could be famine. And literally, they're sitting on a beautiful lawn, eating fruits, nuts, granola bars, sandwiches. They're getting Dunkin' Donuts. One person spotted a $17 jar of Good and Gather's sea salt roasted mixed nuts.
Oh, those are good ones.
Who spent $17 on a jar of nuts?
I mean, you got to get quality if you're going to get, you know,
true,
mixed nuts.
They did have some cheaper options like Blue Diamond, almonds, Planters, sandwiches from a UK brand convenience store bakery called Preta Manager. Veggie sandwiches. They sell for $8. Tons of those out there. $10 and $14 and $16. Oh, they have a $16 salmon sandwich was out there. Kids want some salmon?
You know, something.
Little freedom fighters.
It doesn't really hold up in the heat, but enjoy the salmon sandwich.
Yeah. Caffeinated drinks are around the clock. Hot Dunkin's coffee shows up all the time. Boxes and donuts just there. They just appear. Who or what organization may be behind these deliveries is still a mystery. Columbia's administration's restricted access to the campus is only Columbia ID holders and credentialed press people. But their bellies are full. I don't know why this woman hasn't resigned, Manu Shafiq, because, I mean, she was supposed to crack down on it, and then she told them they let them go, and then they came back, and now they're negotiating with them. Some have to go. Some can stay. You have to all be have Columbia IDs to be in the campgrounds, and now they're in. I mean, what is she going to do? She doesn't handle the university's endowment. Well, okay, I'm going to call, oddly enough, our Jewish accountant, Cy Rabinowitz, and have him pull all the Israeli money. Man. And all around them in New York City, people are starving or hungry and homeless.
Yeah, it's because these people have never suffered a day in their life. They have no idea what they're even protesting about. They don't know what actual suffering is when they're sitting in their little tent that are not cheap tents to and enjoying a $17 sandwich to tell people that, oh, there's so much suffering in the world that we have to protest.
Yeah, well, you have a salmon sandwich from a fancy UK-based bakery chain.
You know, the Vanderbilt kids, they, we couldn't get up to go to the bathroom for...
We had to call 911 because of the tampon change.
Yeah, the other one, we had to end our hunger strike after 8 hours because, I don't know, it's dinner time.
The Harvard's had a city, tent city pop up. Oh, you sent me the, what, do they have like a time limit to get their tent set up?
I think that was like they already cleared everybody up, so they had to send, they were rushing to get back in after they cleared people up again.
They start setting up another pro-Hamas terrorist camp here, and they're like running. Do they know how to set up their tents?
Not really.
So they're running to this big park here. Good Lord. Let's not judge that. That's a drum. Wow. Wow. What a nightmare. In Princeton, they said, look, set up a tent, you'll immediately be arrested and barred from the campus. Princeton Gaza Solidarity Encampment. 20 protesters were there wanting their university to divest from Israel. What if are there universities that aren't invested in Israel?
No, because it's a place that they invest a lot of money into.
Protesters would have pro bono legal support, a trained security team, they said. Faculty members support their cause, would also be willing to negotiate with the administration on their behalf.
Mm. So wait, they want free lawyers to come in if they get arrested?
Yes, pro bono, yes. They need.
I know we're protesting, but we'd like you to give us free lawyers.
Yeah. After you arrest us, we demand you provide us with free legal services. In addition to disrupting the university, they're occupying access, blocking access to buildings, establishing outdoor encampments, sleeping in any campus outdoor space, inherently unsafe for everybody involved. The vice president of campus life said that Rochelle Calhoun, any individual involved in an encampment, occupation, or other unlawful disruption, disruptive conduct who refuses to stop after a warning will be arrested and immediately barred from the campus. And that exclusion will jeopardize your ability to complete your semester. In addition, members of the community would face a disciplinary process that could lead to suspension, delay of diploma, or expulsion. I doubt any of that will happen, though.
No.
I mean, Princeton's looking up the street and going, well, we see what's going on in New York City. We don't want that, you know, that wild.
Well, we already had enough issues with stuff before with the early on. Right. We're just like, we're going to stay out of this.
So in the Secret Service deal, here's what bothers me. They had Secret Service dude in charge of Kamala. This is the quote from the chief of communications of Secret Service. A U.S. Secret Service special agent supporting the vice president's departure from Joint Base Andrews began displaying behavior their colleagues found distressing. That's really not the place you want to find a guy with, you know, distressing behavior.
Yeah, no.
The agent had been there to support Harris's departure. The scuffle did not, you know, he started swinging on other agents. They say they're all armed. He became very aggressive with others. A detail shift supervisor and special agent in charge pushed him to cool off, but then a fight broke out and the agent acted, quote, erratically. When he arrived and eventually got on top of the special agent in charge of the vice president, then began punching him. You know, these guys have been through not just the background test, but through, you know, emotional examinations, you know, all kinds of testing, because they could be put under any number of situations.
Yeah, you would hope so, that these guys are stress tests and all types of other mental evaluations. But apparently this guy had himself a breakdown.
To the point where the other agents, when they restrained him, they took his gun from him. The gun was secure in the agent's holster until other agents physically restrained the agent and took the gun from his possession. They also apparently had been longstanding concerns about the agent in question prior to the incident. That just doesn't seem right, does it? I mean, we're talking about the Secret Service here.
Yeah, this is one of those where if there's any concerns, like if one person raises a hand, like, hey, he's acting a little squirrely.
He's out of here.
Yeah, he's gone. At least on some leave. Like, you're gone for a little while, buddy.
Well, I just speculate any further, so I won't. I've met some of the fine young agents in the Secret Service.
They're doing a bang up job.
Yep. Made me suck up a leather seat between my butt cheeks. let me get out of this stuff right here. San Francisco Mayor London Breed is coming under fire. That city is in a death spiral. It's a hellhole. We all know it. Giant retailers are fleeing en masse. Drugs, doo-doo, you know. Well, she just returned to San Francisco after she's been gone for a week in China. It says a lot about a leader that is aware of a cancer, a problem within whatever it is, whether it's an organization or a business or a city that you're in charge of, that instead of rolling up the sleeves and spending 8 hours a day in a conference room until we come up with some solutions, you know what I mean? But to real serious problems, they kind of, I don't know if they pretend like it doesn't exist or it's maybe, well, you know, you got to get used to things in a big city. This is how things are. But to literally go to the other side of the earth for an entire week.
That's because she's living her best life.
Right.
I mean, I don't think there's ever a time that a city mayor, not a state governor or a member of Congress, a senator, a city mayor should be traveling to another country on diplomatic missions.
Right. Right.
Because that means the city of San Francisco paid for her to go.
Prior to the trip, she told a local NBC affiliate out there that one of her goals was to bring back pandas for the San Francisco Zoo.
That'll get rid of all the doo-doo in the streets once she's some pandas in there.
I mean, what's the rationale? I know tourism is suffering greatly in San Francisco because all the drugs and the half bent over fentanyl people and the diarrhea and all that stuff. But if we just had some pandas here, I think people would still come to the city, step over the drugs and the doo-doo, and to go to see those pandas.
Yeah, I think that's what she looked around. She looked around and said, okay, all those investors have left. The buildings are empty. Got a lot of open-air drug markets, but the pandas, that'll get people back to San Francisco.
It's kind of evading your duties.
Protect the house from Full House and also pandas, and we're good to go.
Homelessness, drug problem, escalating crime, declining revenues, declining tax base, and you feel it's appropriate to jet off to China for a week. Wasn't Xi Jinping just in San Francisco? Couldn't you have just the other day, you hosed the doo-doo off the street and shipped out the drug addicts for a while. The cleanest the street has ever been.
She tried. She was like, hey, Xi, can we talk about pandas? And he was like, no, not now. See me in 6 months.
He was with Gavin Newsom. Uh-huh.
And Gavin was working on pandas.
He's like, I got this panda thing, bitch. Yeah. If you asked all of San Franciscan what the biggest problem facing the city is, none of them would say things ain't right since we lost our pandas.
Yeah. So definitely a lack of pandas. You can feel it across the town. There's a sadness that has just come across the whole city.
You don't even go to Chinatown. They can't even get out of bed down there. Wow. I always get, I'm no biblical scholar. I'm far from it, but scientists, I'm always suspicious when I hear about new revelations about the Bible, right? I don't know when the last one was, but they've apparently found researchers used an ultraviolet photocopy to spot text they found hidden in a Bible for 1,500 years that was hidden beneath multiple edits. Now, is there one master Bible somewhere from which all other Bibles are written? I mean, we found this in a Bible. Well, what Bible is it? I mean, where is it? The very first Bible ever written?
Yeah, or was this like a monk who he messed up and wrote the wrong thing and he had to keep scratching it out and wrote over it again?
They said used ultraviolet photography to see the earlier text under three layers of words written on palimpsest, an ancient manuscript that people used to write over other words but often left traces of the original writing behind. Palimpsests were used in ancient times due to the scarcity of parchment. Words would be written on a material repeatedly until several layers covered the original, the hidden words. It's from the Book of Matthew, unseen version of chapter 12, the Book of Matthew, originally a part of the old Syriac translation of the Bible, 1,500 years ago. Made a discovery in the manuscript held by the Vatican.
So you'd think the Master Bible would be in the Vatican.
Or one of the most, you know. According to the release of the original Greek version, which the one most commonly used today, said, at the time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. The newly discovered translation said, they begin to pick the heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat them. Oh.
That changes Christianity completely.
Oh, we have eating grains they wrong just, this whole just
snack
time.
On grains.
Oh, no wonder they taste so horrible. They get stuck in your teeth.
You have to rub them between your hands first.
And now we'll rub the grain between our hands. I'm always skeptical because I'm afraid that they're going to come up with something like, oh, well, we found some, yeah, guess what we found? We found this, this chapter here where it says, God's okayeth if you cut off thine penis and he will bless thine with a giant vagina. So saith the Lord. Then I would be.
Giant one, huh?
Yeah.
It shall be wide and
it
deep.
It shall be a wide vagina. You see, Harvey Weinstein got one of his rape convictions overturned.
Does this do anything for him?
That's what I'm thinking. And look, the reasons were reasons that could easily be used in the Trump, some of the Trump trials. They overturned it, the finding that the judge in that case prejudiced the guy with egregious improper rulings, including a decision to let women testify about allegations that weren't even part of the case.
Wow, that sounds super familiar of another case that
it sure
just
does.
Went on.
He still is going to be in prison because he was convicted in L.A. of another rape and sentenced to 16 years on that. But the state court appeals ruling reopens another chapter in this whole Me Too reckoning. They did signal they're going to retry him in it. What that means is accusers would all be forced to come back and retell their stories all over again on the witness stand. Fish penis, the whole deal. Did he say it looked like a fish?
It was scaly like a fish, she said.
Did she say it was scaly?
Yeah, it was scaly.
Scaly?
Yeah, I think it's from all the it's like scar tissue from all the injections.
Oh, my God. Imagine that. Yeah, it doesn't really change much. It's good for justice. You know, that type of stuff is, should be avoided. And when it's discovered, wrong needs to be righted. But, I mean, what is he, 70-something?
I mean, I'm still surprised he's still alive. He's awful the last couple times they drug him out.
He looked bad before he went to prison. He's only getting worse in there. Oh, boy. Man, I thought we had all forgotten about him, you know, but he's coming back.
Lawyers are still making money. Putting appeals in every day.
Yeah, it's true. I'm sure he got some money laying around. When we return, we'll get to Heather Has Answers. Also, Taylor Swift's plane. That thing's got a lot of miles on it. The dude that tracks her, Jack Sweeney, the college guy out here at UCF. He's put together her totals for last year. And although they're real bad, she's still a billionaire and the most popular woman in the United States. We'll do it next. Stick around. Universities, at University of Texas, Governor Abbott wants these He said these protesters belong in jail. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas.
Most definitely. If the police had never come, we would have followed the schedule set out by PSC. It was a variety of scholastic teach-ins, lunch breaks. It was, you know, study hours on the lawn, a peaceful demonstration. And now that the police have come, it has now turned into like a clash of students wanting our own campus sovereignty and UT Austin and UTPD and state troopers trying to quell dissent.
In Emory, in Atlanta, they're literally having to tase some of these students. Jeez. It's bad. Is Taylor Swift big on the climate? I mean, I don't hear her making a whole lot of statements on it.
I think she's made a couple, but she knows. I think she knows she's a hypocrite if she did.
Jack Sweeney, who runs some X accounts that track private jets owned by celebrities. For Taylor, she tallied 178,000 miles last year and counting. Man, that's a lot. She's unperturbed. Taylor used her private plane throughout Kansas City Chiefs season to watch Travis play. She's been boarding her jet in Kansas City and then taking it to the or arriving in Kansas City. I guess she keeps it in Morristown, New York, because there's a lot of flights from there. She said the most fleeting of visits. As she bounced back to Nashville or Morristown, New Jersey, that's where she keeps her plane, or Burbank, California, after barely a day leaving Kelsey to return to his season, shows that she jetted across the United States, then down to South America, all over Europe, the international leg of her tour. Environmental campaigners estimate that she has dumped 554.5 tons of CO2 in the air. She's flown her giant jet for trips as short as 267 miles. Well, sorry, here's one for 164 miles. Well, here's one from St. Louis to Cahokia, St. Louis, 28 miles.
Yeah, a couple of those she may be getting away with, like the 28-mile one. They said because that was the point where she was about to sell that jet. So they're saying that might have been a demo flight that they sent somebody up there with the plane to see if they liked the way it looked. And it wasn't...
Just take it for a spin.
Yeah, take it
kick
for
the
a
tires
spin.
Around.
Not 28 miles. At, like,
do you really take a plane
driving.
for a test drive? For you?
I would sure hope so. Last thing I want to do is pay millions of dollars for a jet and it gets up there and it's got a whistle of some sort.
Yeah, that's true. Does it matter? Look, I don't care. I really don't. I don't care. If I had a plane, I'd be flying the ass out of it myself.
I don't care, but I don't want to hear from all her fans that are hypocrites. That are though, because all her fans are the same ones that are going to be crying and whining about climate change. And but they're the ones that are like, oh, but she's fine that she flew to Manila and to go see Travis. Or she flew 1,500 miles to go to Coachella. Fine. Yeah. I mean, if she's doing that, she's got the money. She can do all that. It's
right.
Probably better than it's not better than her flying commercial. Because it probably her and four other people got on that jet.
Right. But she, most of it, I mean, if she's touring, she's touring.
Yeah, but those aren't touring.
I know. Right. But a lot of it is, but these here, you're right. From New Jersey down to Kansas City to watch the Chiefs play the Dolphins. Kansas City back to the hangar to Nashville to the hangar, Morristown to the Buffalo for the Buffalo Bills game. Buffalo back to the hangar to Nashville to St. Louis. I mean, if she's going to Nashville, she's obviously working.
Yeah.
I don't really have, you know, if I.
They said, I'm all fine for it. I just don't want to hear those same people complaining to other people that they're, you know, if Elon Musk gets on his jet to go from back and forth from X to SpaceX and then people are, oh, look, he's doing the environment. Oh, yeah, because he's doing business.
Right. He's working.
I don't care. Like I said, those are the ones Don't be the Al Gores of the world that are preaching that the climate's dying and, you know, you can see a fish on the road on a sunny day and the fact that all this stuff, and then get in a private jet and fly out across the world.
It is a bit hypocritical.
I went down to Miami and saw fish from the ocean swimming in the streets on a sunny day.
On a sunny day. They really went overboard with the solar panels in California. Like, if there was something you could do out there, you live in California, you're a good progressive liberal, you're doing it.
Oh, you're putting solar panels.
Oh, so you better. So, yeah, I got solar panels on top of my solar panels. They're everywhere. They're in Central Valley. They're scattered all, you know, in the desert. They're scattered all over rooftops in L.A. By last count, the state had nearly 47 gigawatts of solar power installed, enough to power 13.9 million homes and provide a quarter of the state's electricity. But there's a bit of a problem. There's so much solar on the grid that on a nice sunny day, there's not as much demand. Electricity prices go negative. So gigawatts of solar are curtailed, essentially thrown away, not used, wasted. So now, you know, they used to have wild incentives for you to put some solar panels up on your, you know. Now they've cut back on those and slowed the pace of installing panels. You know, you have diminishing economic returns. I saw that Elon had retweeted it, that one day, for the first time ever in California's history, battery power, like the people that had stored battery, you know, stored their electricity in battery, was the number one producer of electricity in California.
Yeah, but again, this is another example of putting the cart in front of the horse. Instead of building, redesigning and rebuilding the actual electrical grid that can handle this, they slapped a solar panel on every house telling everybody, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing. You're going to be so energy efficient. You're saving the world. Except it's mostly just going to the garbage.
Right. You there's too much. That's hysterical. What happened to that high-speed rail they're supposed to do there?
It's back on again.
Is it?
Yeah, enough that they said that it's back on again. I think they want to say Buttigieg was out there just this week because they did the spike for the new one that they're going to do from Vegas to L.A., I think, is the route. But, again, they've spiked the first spike right in a rail line like four times for this high-speed right rail. They're not going anywhere.
Why do you suppose the fertility rate in the U.S. has dropped so low? Lowest in a century.
Because you have a bunch of people that are Gen Z that think that the world is going to end and they don't have kids. That's the basic thing. That we all have PFAS in our body and forever chemicals and plastics.
They said the decline fits the general pattern. A statistician named Brady Hamilton, National Center for Health Statistics, birth rate fell among most age groups between 2022 and 2023. The teen birth rate reached another record low. Thank God. Is that bad? We want more teens to have babies?
No, I think that's good. That shows things are working correctly.
That's a record low of 13.2 births per 1,000. For 15 to 19, 79% lower than its most recent peak. However, the rate of decline was slower than it's been for the past decade and a half. The highest rates have over time been shifting towards women in their 30s, whereas before it used to be women in their 20s. One factor is the people want to wait. They had a pandemic, there's an economic downturn. You know, women in their 20s can postpone having birth until stuff improves. They feel more comfortable. For older women, the option of waiting is really not viable. But rates can change dramatically. What we need is Didn't we predict pandemic babies and those never came around?
Yeah, we thought that was going to happen.
Like the lockdown babies, like that one week they were locked.
Actually, it fell.
People were just repulsed by their partners. Mm-hmm. Get away from me. Heather.
Hey, I wanted to chime in on that.
Well, all right, let's hear it.
Women are getting an education before settling down these days. A couple generations ago, they were getting married earlier and being a wife and not having the career that they have now. And also, it's kind of good that some of these people aren't reproducing.
Yeah, but overall, we need a higher birth rate in this country if it's going to survive.
Also, the women going to college has not increased that much from 2019 to now. That's only you're talking like it's the 80s and 90s, and women are finally getting into corporate world.
Okay, I didn't mean it like that, but I think that we are having babies later. Lots of people are having babies between 38 and 45.
It also could be an economy issue. We right. talk about all the people that have to work two jobs, three jobs. They don't have time to have sex and have kids.
Or at least have a kid and then take care of it without it costing you a fortune.
Right.
All right. If you have a question, send it to Heather, because Heather has answers.
I do.
At gmail.com. Heather has answers at gmail.com.
Hey, Shannon Burke Show. My wife might be pregnant by another man.
Oh.
What's the most mature way to approach this? She got a positive pregnancy test, and it might be her ex-boyfriend's baby. We haven't had a chance to discuss it properly, but we have two other children together. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't want another man being involved like a dad, because that's embarrassing.
Wait. We're skipping.
It gets there. Okay. Nope, it gets there. It was a consensual situation, and I don't have the right to ask her to consider an abortion or adoption. Her ex-boyfriend is crazy about her, and I use the situation to our advantage. I'm not innocent in any of it. The ex-boyfriend's a good guy, though. He's helped us out when we've needed it. He doesn't live particularly close, and my wife isn't into him. She just likes him as a person. She hasn't cheated on me, and I was involved in the process.
What?
I know. Where do we go from here? Anonymous youngin who should be in the villages.
Way too much.
There's a too lot many holes. Of things too going many holes. On here.
So he's okay with his wife's ex-boyfriend banging her.
It sounds like it might have been a threesome thing.
It said he was at least there, so he was at least watching.
He was involved somehow.
Wow.
Looks like he's married to a man and a woman now.
There's a lot of stuff in that, though. Okay, so it's an ex-boyfriend, but they've been married long enough to have two kids already. So this is
The guy that she's currently with, the guy that who wrote in, he and this lady have two kids.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So this guy's been an ex long enough that they've since had two kids. Mm-hmm. So that's not an ex-boyfriend. That's a former, like an old fling.
Years ago.
And then he still comes around.
Swings by for a little cuckold session every once in a while.
He said it was consensual, but you didn't think about the possibility.
He was involved in it.
Of her getting knocked up still.
Yeah, they should have used protection.
There's a lot of things going on. Also, you said she doesn't really like the guy.
Well, not in that way.
In what way? She had sex with him enough to get pregnant.
And he was there.
What way does she not like him?
I just read these.
Yeah, you're right. You can't. I don't know. He didn't say what she feels about it. She's happy about having potentially her ex's baby while she's married to this guy?
I don't know. He says he hasn't had time to properly discuss it with her.
What? What? So she said, oh, honey, I did a pregnancy test. I'm pregnant. Oh, that's great news. Oh, it could be Phil's, too, because remember that one night we had? Oh, we'll probably discuss this later. I think it's got things to do right now.
Yeah, we got to kick this can down the road a little bit.
Wow. You all three need to sit down and have a conversation, because that dude is going to have to contribute.
There's going to have to be a DNA test.
Yeah, if I'm the ex dude, I'm definitely having a paternity test done.
Yeah.
No, ex dude's going to disappear. He's going to ghost off into the wind.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, now I heard you might be pregnant. Goodbye.
Oh, Lord.
Right. Really, they just should have been safe. I mean, have a mature conversation with the two of them. And
I mean, look, because this is the situation you put yourself in potentially when you decided to have whatever experience you decided. This is a potential outcome. It was on the wheel of outcomes there.
Yeah.
It's today stopped on baby. So
you're the one that wanted to just sit there dressed as Superman while your wife got banged out by her ex-boyfriend. Now you got another baby on the way.
Wow. Good luck, buddy. Man. Okay.
Well, Heather, I know you may not pick this email because it's nothing to do with sex or anything juicy like that. But my daughter-in-law has a habit of one-upping people. At the beginning, I didn't really notice it, but it is obvious now. Everyone in the family has something that they're good at, and it's like their thing. For example, my daughter was really into making pies. One day, my daughter-in-law asked for the recipes. My daughter gave them to her, and she started bringing pies to every event, kind of kicking my daughter out of her thing, and then pushed the family to compare them. My daughter wasn't happy. One big thing that really made me notice was that what she was doing was when she won up my youngest. She was merely 14 at the time, and when all the kids hit high school, they were responsible for getting gifts for events. My youngest wasn't hiding the fact that she was giving me a knit scarf for Secret Santa. She was 14. She was 14 and it was very obvious. The whole family knew. So on Christmas, daughter-in-law got me a very nice scarf bonus gift and gave it to me right after my youngest gave me hers. So that wasn't okay. I had a conversation with her and she denied doing it. My son also told me that he can't see it. Ever since then, more people have been noticing it and even my husband sees it. It has happened to almost every female in the family at this point, which brings me to my point. I have really good Italian recipes from my mom. I bring them to events. My daughter-in-law asked for the recipes. I told her no.
Oh.
She started on me with why. She accused me of not seeing her as family, and I told her it was due to her behavior, and she called me a dick.
A dick?
Yeah. My son is also on my butt about saying I'm a gatekeeper recipient since I don't like her. I'm not trying to start a family war. I'm just not giving up my only thing. What would you guys do? Mary in Coral Springs.
Here's what I would do. I would carefully plant a story within the family that, what is her name, the mother?
Mary.
Mother-in-law, Mary. That, well, maybe around Mary's birthday or Christmas or something, that one of the siblings plans on giving her a car. And see if daughter-in-law and name a car. It's not really new, but it's a nice Mercedes or whatever. But don't tell her. And see if daughter-in-law shows up with a brand new one.
Ooh. I was going to say alter the recipes. Like,
oh, make
throw
them suck.
In too much salt or add something, like, instead of paprika, make it curry.
I know that people really are very protective of old family recipes.
Yeah. Yeah, or just don't give her the recipes. They're yours. You can take them to the grave if you want to.
Right. That should be handed down to her, you know, daughter, not her daughter-in-law.
Yeah. That's all you have to do. That's a family secret, and it goes to the next in female in line. That's of the that's my first daughter in line. That's who it goes to.
Right. That's the family. That's how we do things around here. Does she one up people like verbally? It's the verbal one uppers that can be the real, right. Like yeah, you come to work with a limp and you go, yeah, I had to sprain my ankle or whatever. Oh yeah, look at this. I had my ankle had to be totally rebuilt. I got screws and bolts in there, buddy. That's a real ankle injury.
That's so annoying, isn't
it? It's totally annoying. I don't know.
Well, we gave her lots of great options. Either not do it, mess up the recipes, or what was the one you said?
Spread a rumor that someone's getting, or a diamond ring or something really nice. Then let her go out there and one-up it.
Yeah, but the poor son is the guy that's got to pay for it, though.
That's true.
Well, the son's with her. He chose her.
Maybe she has she told her son about the problem? That's what he needs to do.
He doesn't.
He didn't see it? Of course he doesn't. Oh, she sucked the chrome off a trailer hitch. Sorry, Heather. It's very okay. Chauvinistic of me.
I've got one more for you.
All right.
Dear Heather, writing to you because you have kids the same age as mine and writing to the show because you guys crack me up, hoping to find humor in my situation and maybe a solution. Our son's behavior is not okay. It started around a year ago with my son posting inappropriate content on Facebook and later on TikTok. We banned him from using the smartphone, and now he uses a boring one, which he can't access the internet. The only computer he has access to is in the family room. Despite this, he is continuing to act inappropriate at school, according to his teachers and the principal. We've asked his counselor, who he meets with at school, and was assured that this wasn't a real issue. This was just typical during some boys' development. So the issues include posting provocative photos and describing himself as submissive and breedable.
Oh, my God.
Posting weird, sexualized, tongue-out faces in photos. This includes photos where we attempt to take his family. Dressing inappropriate in the skimpiest clothes he can find. I have to keep confiscating mesh clothes because he goes out in them with nothing underneath. And making sexualized moaning noises in class, like harder daddy. This has put a couple of his teachers at odds with the school counselor. We are both aware that my son is gay. It doesn't bother us. My husband's bisexual and told him that he would accept him no matter what when he came out to us. However, I can't accept openly lewd and provocative behavior. We've tried discussing this with him, but he laughs and shrugs it off. He's currently in a huff with us over his phone privileges being revoked, but we don't know what else to do. Laura, Winter Park, Florida.
How old is this kid?
14.
Wow.
See, unfortunately, he... 13? If he's gay and he's truly gay... He's seen Hollywood gay right now, though. That's all he sees is the RuPaul's of the world, the internet, Yaz Queen gay of the world.
That's, and what did he post himself as? Submissive
and breedable.
Breedable.
That's what he's seen the hypersexualized world of gay. And if his father is bisexual, he needs to sit him down and say that's not how the world actually is.
Right, and breedable means that he wants to have anal sex with somebody, and he's 14.
That doesn't make any sense. Breed?
Breedable. Breed. Like breeding.
Right. Well, that doesn't breed anything.
Well, okay. I know, but you get the point. That's gay
for some sort of
slang
sex.
For anal sex.
Right. Oh.
Yeah, this is the kid that sees the guys at the Pride Parade that are walking around in mesh shirts.
Gold lamé, short shorts.
With their dongs hanging out and they're flaming.
Dog mask on, slapping people, dog chain, dog collar. Yeah, they need to find out. That's, I don't get if the kid's gay, the kid's gay.
Right.
But tone it down a little bit. I mean, he's going to make himself a target for some pedophile.
Yeah.
If he's out there advertising that he's breedable, good Lord, and submissive, he's asking for it.
I'm not sure my kids even know those words.
Well, this guy has been hypersexualized either through school. You know, I'm sure they got some LGBTQ trans nonsense going on.
Yeah, I think this is
classes.
What this is. This kid feels that he's gay, but the only thing he sees on the internet of being a gay man is that, and not what actually the rest of the world is actually is. He needs to. You know what? What may actually be helpful for this kid is to take him to an LGBT like outreach place. And take him around people that are gay, but they're not like the flaming superstar gay.
Right.
And show him that, hey, that's you can be a normal person and be gay.
Right.
I mean, where is a 14-year-old getting mesh clothing from?
I mean,
where is he getting money to buy mesh clothing?
Mowing lawns, walking dogs.
S&Ds.
No, not a little kid.
He's breedable. That's pretty bold stuff for a 14-year-old to be saying online.
Yeah.
You're drawing all kind of nasty attention from the worst people. Old dudes that want to bang young kids.
And this is probably a kid that has gotten into, with his sexuality, he's decided he's going to look at what gay porn looks like. And that's a lot of it. You know, that's more than likely what he's getting from that. He's getting the porn world of it.
Hmm.
Damn.
Ooh, they got to stop it quick.
All right. Heather has answers at gmail.com. Heather has answers at gmail.com. If you want, it doesn't have to be sex related, but it helps. I don't have this at all. When we return, remarks. I don't know, you may be cool with the drag queen story hour, but are you cool with the drag queen leading a pro-Palestinian chant with kids in kindergarten? Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Radio.
You know, our inmate up in Coleman who is going to fight a lion...
Melton.
Someone else in the facility has written, he will remain anonymous at his request. He says, is this the radio station? I'd like to remain anonymous, if possible. But we are in the same unit as him. And that whole thing is a sham. The dude could barely beat up his transgender girlfriend. He just likes the attention y'all are giving him. Pretty sure the fight would last 5 seconds. His ego is huge right now because he thinks y'all are supportive of the fight. I don't know where y'all stand, but the dude is strange. We're supportive, right? Heather, do we support this or no?
I support it.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to see a man fight a lion. I don't know what the support is. I'd like to.
I mean, yeah, I'm not like.
I'm not betting on him.
No, and I'm not like.
And we're not financial backers in any way.
But I will MC the final event, for a nominal fee, of course. Of course, you got to fulfill all the things of my rider. And I'll need a trailer. But other than that, I'd be happy to MC you cover the tuxedo, which I get to keep after the event. But holler. There's a lot of correspondence here. I see you asked them what was commissary.
Mm-hmm. What was in their commissary?
Oh, what was in there? I think they kind of.
They all like ramen noodles.
Oh, yeah.
That's currency there.
Candy bars. He says chips, packs of Kool-Aid, and coffee. Favorite thing in the commissary? That's his favorite thing in the commissary.
All right. I'm waiting on the recipes. They're going to send them.
Oh, jailhouse recipes?
Yeah. There's a lot of them.
Look, you don't.
I mean, if they send some good ones, I'll try them out and I'll make them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We could probably get the same stuff they have at the dollar store, candy wise. And I'm sure it's got ho ho's and ding dongs and zim zams and whim whams and all that.
I'll mash it up. I'll make like a jailhouse cake out of it or whatever they do.
That's a good idea. We'll make a jailhouse cake to celebrate Heather's birthday.
I got to see if the. I'll ask the building if they'll let me cordon off a toilet just for the toilet wine.
Yeah, just maybe one toilet in the gym.
Or maybe that one that's right over there that always is out of order anyway. We'll just lock that one off.
We'll go get some hooch going in there. We'll need to get some fruit from the cafe and let it ferment.
Some bread and some ketchup packets.
Yeah. If we only had a stainless steel toilet, it would be a lot better.
Yeah, that's the problem. The porcelain holds a lot of bacteria. So.
Oh, gross. This is a drag queen leading children, very, very young children, as you'll hear, and teaching them how to chant Free Palestine. These kids have no idea what Palestine is.
Not one bit.
They're happy they're getting it for free. That's about all they know.
Yeah, they're super excited. Like, Free Palestine? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, I'll take two. I mean, I don't even know why this still goes on, the drag queen stuff. It's just so confusing. This person is just clowned up. The hair, fake boobs, the dress, high heels, the fishnet stockings. And the hypocrisy about a drag queen, you show up in Palestine, you're just dead.
Yeah. That's
on the spot.
It's such a joke.
That's like a double whammy of indoctrination. Right? I mean, you're getting, you might as well bring in a trans person to explain genocide.
Oh, they do. They try.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to remarks. Come on, people. From the Florida Man Radio app. Powered by Morris Family Farms and MorganicMeats.com, the new website. Oodles of archives are available there, commercial free in the podcast. You can call, text us, and hit the little microphone at the bottom. Leave us a little 30-second message. Here we go.
Hey, Shannon. This is Marissa. I live over here in Germany, listening to yesterday's show, and I wanted to let you know that we are, in fact, not on fire over here in Europe. It is freezing. It's still in the 30s. It's winter time here. So I don't know who said that, but they have no idea what they're talking about.
Thank you, Marissa, from Germany. That's awesome. Yeah, they said Europe's on fire. That's going to be too loud for the next one.
Yeah, the only thing London Breed is bringing back from China to San Francisco is a new fentanyl strain called Panda.
It's called Two Panda, actually.
Yeah, Two Panda.
You know, when the Me Too movement was really going on, I used to grab my sign, hashtag Me Too, go out to the protests and show my support. I'd walk around and I'd yell, pound Me Too, pound Me Too, pound Me Too. And for some reason, they didn't let me stay very long. I don't know.
That one should have been spitballed quite a bit before they, you know.
Well, that's a bunch of kids that started a movement that forgot what that symbol also used to stand for and wasn't hashtag for the longest time.
I don't know. With all this anti-Semitism going on, there's protesting against the war over there. I'm seeing another Kent State happening.
Man, it's certainly ripe for it.
It's ripe for it. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of serious violence yet. I mean, we've seen some officers now roughing him up a little bit to arrest
tasing.
Him. Tasing. But we've not seen it from the college kids yet, which a lot of Kent State gets kind of, whitewashed a little bit. The fact that they were also quite violent back. So
yeah, that's true.
Somebody mind explaining to me what the F campus sovereignty is? These entitled little peckerheads need to be set straight. We got to defund the universities. That's all there is to
now
it.
Now you're talking.
Beta.
Campus, what are campus sovereignty? They really believe like that as long as they're on the campus, nobody can do anything. It's like Ollie income free, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, this high-speed rail out here in California is the biggest goddamn scam. They want to do it from Rancho Cucamonga, which is like way out in the Inland Empire. It's not even close to L.A. to Vegas. And then they want to try one from Grand Central Station up into Oakland, which is
Noah's going to
beautiful.
Oakland.
So,
unless you're going there to shoplift.
Well, then you have the high-speed rail to take everything back.
Howdy, guys. It's Nathan Bakersfield, California. You were talking about the high-speed rail that they're trying to put in out here. Yeah, well, they've been doing that for, what, over 10 years now. So the original plan was to go from L.A. to San Francisco on the high-speed rail, and they taxed everybody to come up with $6 billion. That's all gone already, so they're trying to add more onto it. And now the train is being cut back to only go from Bakersfield to Merced. So that's it. We're screwed in the Central Valley.
Government can't do dick. You know?
Not without spending a lot of money.
I don't know. I think a lot of it, the Brightline's owned by Virgin Airline guy. That's a great service.
But even it took forever to get off the ground.
True.
And get ready. And, you know, they're still trying to figure out if they can get it from the airport to Disney.
Right.
And
you go, Taylor. You go, Taylor. Fly swift and fast. Pun intended. But please, you look ridiculous. Shut your goddamn Greenpeace-loving, hypocritical ass. Makes you look stupid. Makes you look foolish. Makes you look like a hypocrite, obviously, Captain.
I've never heard her.
Pathetic. BWW.
Greenpeace talk, anybody. But maybe she, I mean, I'm certain that she is.
Yeah, I mean, more her fans are like that. She's actually, a lot of times, very non-committal about things.
Yeah.
Like, she'll the last time she kind of supported Biden, like, at the very end of it all, but she tried her hardest not to.
Yeah. She's going to support him again, I'm sure, right?
Probably closer to that time, but she's going to spend as long as she can milking it because her new album just came out. The last thing she wants to do is take anybody away from buying her album.
Yeah, that's true.
Is Heather a blonde by any chance?
No, Heather's a brunette. Why do you ask?
Shannon, Keith in New York. This always drives me crazy. Maybe you could straighten it out. You're talking about Taylor Swift. Whenever anybody talks about climate change, they talk about CO2. But I'm always convinced it should be CO, carbon monoxide. What say you?
CO2 is plant food. There's no two ways about it. If you want to have a beautiful planted real plants in your aquarium and not the fake plastic ones, you want to diffuse CO2 into the tank. That's how you, you know, a lot of your Marahuchi growers use CO2.
Yeah, I agree with Heather. As soon as we started letting the chicks go out and make their own money and have a career, that's when they started not wanting to push out a couple kids. We need to get them back in the kitchen where they belong. Can I get an amen?
In the situation where the guy likes to watch his old lady get banged and then get pregnant.
I'm not going to air that.
Yep, I think I know where that's going.
Yep, I see it written right there. That's disgusting, dude.
What's up, boys? Calling Atlanta. So I'm a little confused. How can you be married and be bisexual? Am I missing something here? Am I just old school? Beater, beater.
No, that's a great question. Are you, it sounds like things are footloose and fancy free over there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because if your husband is bisexual and married to you, a woman, that means that he's currently a bisexual. That means he's engaging in other.
Well, he just, you know.
Or he just really likes it.
He really likes both sides of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit.
Hey, this is Mark Storm out of Full Walton Beach on the recipe thing. I think that she should give them the recipe and then, you know, just change it around a little bit. Like, you know, red chili pepper instead of salt, 5 tablespoons of hot sauce instead of 1/2 teaspoon. You know, sort of just muddle it around a little bit. Anyway, that's it. Great show, guys. Beedo, beedo.
I think that there are types of people like that. They're trying to muzzle their way into a family as quickly as possible and you know.
Well, it's also, yeah, they're the type of people that want to one-up everybody, and they're the perfect, they're infallible type of people.
And that woman's name was Mary. Mary, be careful, because if you start to become old and ill, your daughter-in-law sounds like the kind of woman that's going to run around your house with a roll of masking tape and a marker and put her name on the back of all the furniture that she wants to claim.
Once that's as she's running you off to a old folks' home, too.
Call me crazy, but with these idiotic children setting up tents and supporting terrorists and the disease is a left way of thinking and people just looking for a reason to be mad about something that doesn't even matter. I gotta be honest, those camps they're talking about Trump setting up, they're making a lot more sense.
Huh. Well, I mean, they already set their own camps up. We just have to coordinate it off.
All I gotta do is put a fence around that baby and we're in. Their supporters can come and throw donuts over it.
I'd say whoop that 14-year-old's ass, but he's probably going to just like that and be more breedable.
Breedable.
Wow, only 14 years old and he's thinking he's gay already. Damn, isn't it funny how these generations, they even never tried having a girlfriend before, but they already decided on that? And the identity confusion here. But here we are wondering at the same time why less kids are being born. I mean, it's not no laughing matter, but it's kind of funny, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but less kids, we were talking about, you know, the birth rate is historically low because dumbasses think that they're breedable.
Man, those dumb kids saying free Palestine, they can't even read the fine print. Yeah, sure, free Palestine. With purchase of Palestine of equal or greater value. Come
on. Fun fact. Did you know that a pack of feral hogs can eat a drag queen in less than 10 minutes?
All right. We're not advocating killing drag queens here. But the Free Palestine thing, there's a lot of comedy there.
It's just a what did it accomplish? You're supposed to be reading books to little kids.
Now they know Free Palestine.
But they have no idea. They're going to go home to their mommies and daddies, and the mommies and daddies are also going to say, yeah, you're right, Free Palestine, good job.
No, Mom, it's free. We get it for free.
No. Have
doesn't
your
cost anything.
Have your granola bar.
Buy today and get a Free Palestine.
Hey, guys. I don't think it's any surprise that all these protests and things are starting up already. It is an election, a presidential election year. They just had to come up with a different excuse this time. Instead of BLM and... you know, the crackhead that got kneeled on. Now it's, oh, now we've hate Jews and we're all Hamas. I mean, these leftist scumbags are just going to come up with it, whatever. And the summer hasn't even started yet. Wait till that happens. Though, then they're really going to light the cities on fire.
Yeah, there's going to be another summer of love. Can't we just call Netanyahu? Could you hurry up, please? And get this over and leave. And then we can say, we can tell everyone over here, okay, Palestine is free.
Hey, got a joke for you.
Oh,
what's
boy.
Black and eats fish and chips?
Oh, my God. Is this racist?
Hey.
Huh?
I don't remember.
Half of England. Oh!
I don't think they eat the African migrants in England. I don't think they're big fans of fish and chips. They're something probably a little more culturally appropriate for them. They don't cook their fish. They just eat it raw right out of the water.
I wish we could give Paul Bunyan a giant Sawzall and cut California off, and then he could give it a nice swift kick out into the Pacific Ocean. Have a great day. BW.
Hmm. Well.
Bisexual, man, that's just gay. It's like Don Miller says, either you give fellatio or you don't give fellatio.
That does sound like something Don Miller would say.
Does.
Who knew Liberal Larry had a 14-year-old punk kid?
Speaking of, did you know same-sex couples are greater risk of exposure to the adverse effects of climate change than straight couples?
So you're saying the climate crisis is homophobic?
They disproportionately live in coastal regions and cities, which are more vulnerable to disasters like wildfires, floods, smoke-filled skies, and drought. Do we force gay people out to the coastal regions?
No, they love sunshine.
Oh, okay.
And mojitos. And tanning.
Oddly enough, San Francisco ranks second. D.C. rates high for climate risks, heat waves, floods. Has the greatest proportion of gay couples in the United States. Do you know that? I didn't know that.
That seems wrong.
San Fran comes in number two, also facing high climate change risk. The city's leather and LGBTQ cultural district. They got a leather, and that means like leather goods, like a Tandy leather store.
Or more like GIMP outfits. Okay. Chaps and such.
They flooded 22 years ago. And the closest gay supermarket, the Rainbow Grocery, got flooded.
22 years ago. You mean the climate crisis has not worsened for 22 years?
No, not at all.
You would think if we were in the downward spiral that everybody tells us, I think I saw we're only 2 years away again.
But this suggests that, I mean, I don't know what they're trying to say. I mean, it's happenstance that gay couples have drawn to the coastal areas. Either they're affluent, they want to be near the beach, whatever it is. It's not because they're there. Like all the straight people, we pushed all the gays out to the coastal areas out there.
Yeah, it's not like the Midwest is like, yeah, we made sure there's no gays here. I mean, we ran them off to the big cities.
What's the point of even pointing out? So anyone anyone living in the coastal regions,
yes,
at all,
yes.
Are greater risk of climate change, but they must point out that a lot of gays live out there, man. One less.
Hey guys and Heather, it's going to be a bloody, very hot summer. Hold on for the ride.
Sounds like you're trying to say that homosexuality might be the leading cause of climate change.
I mean, there's no rationale at all with pointing out.
No, there's some researcher that he went and was looking over some data, probably some intern, and they were just scrolling through data numbers were clicking to them, and they're like, oh my God, there's a lot of gay people on the coast, and the coast is where the issues with climate change that must specifically target gay people.
But unless the goal is to convince people that if you don't care about climate change, you're obviously homophobic because you want the gay couples in the coastal regions to suffer.
Still. That leather district in San Francisco flooded 22 years ago. So if it was rapidly like the issue where it should be underwater right now, there should be no leather district.
Right. All right. We getting dark?
What are we doing today? Oh, yeah. We're going back to the beginning.
The beginning of?
Of everything.
Like the Big Bang?
Well, you know, we always, Christianity in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
Da-da-da-da. Well, every other culture also has their own.
Really?
Origin myth, where they came from, where they started, what happened at the very beginning, and some of them are really weird.
All right. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show. This just in. Surfers at greater risk of climate change. Live in the coastal regions. Thank you. Beach lifeguards now found to be at a greater risk of climate change. Live in the coastal regions.
Now we gotta save them at all costs too.
They now had a in Horry County, Horry. Huh, funny enough, isn't it? Horry County, South Carolina. You'll get it when I tell you the story. They had the Atlantic Beach Police Department, Horry County Police, ran a prostitution sting. Must not have let the Horry County. Wait, he's from Atlantic Beach. Yeah, wait, Horry County, whichever. Anyway, they set up a prostitution sting and netted their own police chief.
Did someone not call him?
Did he look at the board, the assignment board, yeah. in the locker room? You know, oh, tonight prostitution team, man, I better not go out.
Damn it, you guys were supposed to be on 4th Street, not 8th Street.
he talked online to somebody undercover that agreed to meet them in exchange for money and sexual favors. They came to a hotel. In Myrtle Beach, the money was exchanged, and he was arrested. $120 he was going to pay. They didn't say what do you get for that. I don't know.
This almost sounds like they catfished their own boss.
You think?
Well, I mean, this was not a...
Well, they knew who he was.
This wasn't a one-day thing. Like, this was a multi-day sting they got him for.
They know who he was. Wow. Benjamin Quattlebaum. Oddly enough, is his name. No, that's not his name. His name is Robinson. The town manager is Quattlebaum.
Yes, Quattlebaums.
Manager Quattlebaum. He said the guy's been around a police chief since 2017. He's on administrative leave with pay while we investigate it. He added that the second in command of the department is going to take over in the meantime. But before this charge, Robinson had served his role in exemplary fashion. Quattlebaum is disgusted. Man, Atlanta Beach Police Department, 4 cops. The town is 4 blocks long.
And he was the chief of them?
Yeah. And he didn't know about a prostitution sting going on online. They got a bunch of others, like 10 other suspects for soliciting prostitution. You think a little... town like that really needs to run a sting?
It must be pretty bad.
You can raise some money, you know, yeah, getting guys out of jail.
Maybe they got some extra cash from one of the, like, some sort of grant that if they ran a prostitution sting, they got some grant money.
Oh, and yeah, probably. Tom Brady is in a bit of trouble. It's very Tom Brady-ish. So he's had one of these memorabilia deals. He was speaking at a conference at a global marketing education platform. On the flyer for the event, the company Exma promoted a photo and signature opportunity with Tom. And it said that the event could included a 3-hour yacht ride with a view of the, you know, blah, blah, blah. You pay $3,600 per ticket. There are other events as well. So these memorabilia collectors paid for these tickets because they want to get things signed, right? One guy went and got some things signed. They didn't sign. He didn't sit right there and sign it in front of you like normally they do, right?
Yeah, $3,600. Tom Brady better be sitting at the table in front of me.
And he instead, they took them into a back room and apparently signed them. And someone brought them out. And this guy said, I didn't see him sign it. A bunch of other collectors waited while he signed some stuff into another room with his reps. He got three autographs from Brady at other events, and but after paying $3,600, he wanted a much better one. That's a free autograph. That's the risk you take. But I paid $3,600. The bottom line is the events were. I mean, the signatures were just illegible. They did not look like to the point where they took them to other experts who said they said it's definitely not Tom Brady's signature.
Probably wasn't. I'm sure it was his like bodyguard. Was also like, all right, we got to get through 300 items. Tom's hand's going to get a little cramped, so EG, you pick one and sign it.
Wow.
Remember, his name is Tom, T-O-M, Brady.
The items he brought probably totaled close to six figures in value if they were all, but he said, you know, I would have never paid $3,600 to receive the signature I got today and the items that I brought. Tom let his emotions get the best of him, and he didn't hurt the promoters. He hurt those of us who are here with the items. He could have easily refused to sign it. He could have signed only items that matched what he was contracted to sign. What he didn't have to do is put scribbles on everybody's items and ruin them. That was a choice that Tom made. It was wrong, and it makes him just as accountable as the shady promoters.
Yeah, that's the problem is some of that stuff was like top-end collectibles that are basically worthless.
Like shoes that were worn.
Yeah, game-worn shoes, yeah, unpunched ticket books.
Right, from season tickets?
Yeah.
And he just ruined them. Yeah, how do you... I mean, Tom knows that his signature gives whatever he signs value, right?
Yeah, he does. But even... It could have been just Tom was tired. I mean, after you've signed a bunch of stuff, your signature is not going to be the same over 100, 200 signatures in a day.
Right. It won't be exactly the same, yeah. But an expert will be able to say, yeah, he signed that. It's got the telltale whatever. He just probably just scribbled. I saw one just look like, it didn't even look like a word.
No, yeah, he just it's took just a marker
like,
over top of
it's
it.
It's like a reverse Nike swipe. Like, whoosh, that was it. I'd be pretty ticked too, I think. Let's get dark.
All right, let's do that.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
Let's go back to the beginning. Like, the very beginning, but not the whole Big Bang thing. Come on.
Everybody. Okay, yeah. When God made the heavens and the earth.
Yeah, nobody's been able to actually prove that Big Bang theory. So, you know, it's still, you know, up in the air bunk science. Come on.
We'll know they prove it when we're all sucked into a black hole.
Yeah, well, once the universe reaches its final expanding form, it starts expanding back onto us.
It's supposed to do that?
Theoretically, yes. It's supposed to reach a point where it can no longer, the force that was created by the Big Bang runs out because we're under Newton's laws that there's always equal in some point.
Reaction, yeah.
It'll start, they think theoretically it'll start coming back on itself until we go back all the way to the very beginning and...
We're nothing.
Nothing, and then it restarts again.
All right.
Everything is cyclical.
Hope I'm somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Well, we're like at the beginning, honestly. by what they say time-wise, we're still at the beginning.
At the infancy of the universe?
Yes.
Huh. All right. I thought it was a bazillion years old.
It is, but the time that they believe it'll take for it to return back to nothingness is...
We'll probably destroy ourselves by then anyway.
Wow, easily. We're just a blip on the radar of that is the universe from here on out.
Amazing.
But every culture, we all want to know where we came from. We all want to know what started. I mean, who thought that the fact that we should have a platypus? You ever seen the thing? It's insane.
It's a duck billed with fur and a beaver tail, and it lays eggs.
And it's venomous, too.
Yeah, it's got venom.
So, you know what's going on. Who was the guy that came up with that? Who was the guy that decided the oceans, lands, all those things? Well, every place has their own creation myth. And we're going to go through some of them.
All right.
And like many mythologies, the Incas had a pantheon, had a hierarchy to it. And Viracocha sat at the very top of it. As far as the Incas were concerned, Viracocha was the first deity as well as the maker of all other gods. In his free time, Viracocha also accomplished other minor feats, such as, I don't know, forming the heavens, earth, sun, moon, and all living beings. He was bored, had nothing better to do. According to legends, thought the humans were his second experiment, though. After a first attempt at life resulted in a race of mean rock giants who didn't listen to Viracocha.
Mean rock giants?
Yeah. So Viracocha put together some rock people. Rock people are pretty disobedient, apparently.
Well, they're rocks. What are you going to tell them?
Yeah, he's like,
they always win rock, paper, scissors. Oh, because the paper covers rock, doesn't it?
And so, with a grand showing of grace and regal bearing, Viracocha drowned them all with a giant flood. On his second attempt, he opted for the more soft and malleable clay with which he created his masterpieces, which are the human beings. Presumably, though, hoping not to repeat history, he then decided to pass down many gifts such as clothes, language, agriculture, arts, and animals. In Cherokee lore, the earth began as a messy blob of darkness and water floating around until Galulati.
Galulati?
Yeah, Galulati, the spirit world. The animals who were partying up there in Galulati continued to reproduce until it got a bit crowded, and they needed to find a solution. So they made Earth. Wary of the hidden dangers and curious as what lay below the water surface, the animals sent the water beetle as a scout to get a feel for the lay of the land.
A water beetle?
Mm-hmm. Never one to disappoint. This Christopher Columbus of a spirit drove down to the bottom of it and brought back some mud. This magical mud grew and grew until it became the land that we know and love today. Thanks.
That one little piece of mud from the water beetle.
Yeah. Eager to find a new home, the birds of Galulati ventured down to Earth only to find ground too soft to settle in. So the buzzard, a giant avian fellow, was one of those looking for a dry spot, eventually grew so tired that his wings dragged against the mud, raising the land to create the mountains and the valleys.
Thank God.
Thanks, buzzard. We've got the water beetle and the buzzard to thank so far. Eventually this land dried out and the animals moved on to our world. Fed up with the darkness, the animals decided to pick up a sun, too, to light up the earth.
They picked out a sun?
Yeah.
Or just like, yeah, we have this one here. It's a pretty good, slightly used, but this one over here, low miles.
Unfortunately, though, to create a sun and to put it where you go, certain animals have to be sacrificed. There was many casualties, as many animals were burned red during this valiant effort, including the old crawfish. That's right.
They're only red after you cook them.
Well, that's what happened when you touch the sun.
I guess they're kind of red before you cook them.
Finally, after everything settled, the humans appeared as the end. That was how it was. Thank you.
Thank God crawfish came first and we could eat them.
Yes. And thank God they cooked themselves a little so we could tell. One of the many Hindu creation stories, this one also starts with nothingness, a void, a dark ocean playing host to Shesha, an infinitely giant cobra washed up against the shores of nothingness.
Nothingness?
Yes. Vishnu, who was sleeping soundly in the shelter of Shesha's coils, was roused from a slumber by a deep hum. The god of Vishnu heard an annoying sound that woke him up. As the night was shattered, a majestic lotus flower sprouted forth from Vishnu's belly button, and Brahma, his servant, was born from it. With a single command, Vishnu ordered the creation of the world, and then he just kind of left.
That was it?
He just left.
His work was done?
He already threw the dude out of the belly button lotus. That's true. Of course he was done. With a dazzling display of artistry and power, Brahma quelled the wind and the sea and split the lotus into three and created the heavens, the earth, and the skies. With the earth shattering parts out of the way, Brahma spent the rest of his time crafting animals, plants, humans, and the rest of the world. Now, you've probably heard a lot of the Greek myths.
Yeah, they're the most colorful, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people have heard many different ones, but few actually remember Nyx.
Nyx.
Nyx was a black-winged bird who laid the golden egg. Nyx has also been kind of depicted in the human form. A lot of times you'll see her in Greek art. Just banging body on her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Greeks. Greek women, they always knew exactly. This golden egg birthed Eros, the god of love. The broken halves of the egg became the sky and the earth, named Uranus and Gaia. And at that point, he said, do it. Eros made his egg children have sex.
Oh.
And the two second generation deities had many, many, many children. Then came the familiar ones, the tale of Cronos, who ate his children in fear of their budding powers. That's until Zeus led a rebellion to free himself and his siblings from their father's oppression. In the aftermath, the victorious young deities decorated the earth and sky with life and stars. And from there came Prometheus and Pandora's box. And we got all that Greek mythology. You could spend hours and hours and hours and hours.
Oh, yeah. They have a god for everything.
Yes, they do. Now, if you headed up north and headed towards where the Norsemen were, they had a pretty crazy creation story of their own before the likes of Thor and Loki came. Ymir.
Who?
Ymir.
Ymir.
He's a huge frost giant that formed from the dripping ice of Niflheim.
Niflheim.
Niflheim's an ice planet, yes. Well, ice dimension, ice land. It's a weird... Yeah, they have different layers of theirs. Ymir, the first of the giants, slept until a man and a woman formed from the sweat of his armpit. And his legs spawned a six-headed child. As one does. Thus, the frost giants were born. Meanwhile, the melting ice had also formed Adamhumla, a godly cow, whose milk gave nourishment to Ymir. As Adamhumla licked the ice, Buri, the first god, was formed.
He licked the ice?
Mm-hmm, yeah, and he licked like an ice sculpture of another god, and that god was formed.
All right.
It's a tough follow.
Yeah.
His grandchildren, born of the giant and a god, grew tired of the useless giants and decided to kill Ymir. As Ymir died, his blood flooded the land, wiping out but two of the frost giants. The grandchild then brought the body to Ginnungagap and dismembered each beast to form the world. So, thanks, Ginnungagap. If you head down to New Zealand, you get a little fratricide and cannibalism.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Cannibalism?
It all began with Rangi and Papa, the heaven and the earth from which all creation was born. Also, they were inseparable. So, earth and heaven were covered in darkness because they would never actually separate. So, earth and the heavens were like on each other at all times.
Like he'd stand up and be in heaven?
Yeah, Rangi and Papa were just like going at it all the time. Yeah. So, they could never be separated, which just left darkness at all times.
Oh.
Which you can't have.
No.
No, it's just terrible. Sick of the darkness and eager for change, their children came together for a discussion. Tu Matunega, father of the fierce humans, wanted to slay the parents. But Tan Mahuta, father of the force, wanted to separate them instead, hoping that their father and mother could be the sky over their heads and the earth beneath their feet. Eventually, all but Tawahiri Maati, father of the winds and storm.
Tawahiri.
Tawahiri Maati. They all agreed and proceeded to carry out their plan. With gargantuan effort, Tan Mahuta finally managed to separate his parents after a string of his brother failures. And Rangi and Papa were upset. They cried out in anguish. What could only be called the most bizarre civil war, as the brothers fought over the feelings of betrayal or just simply because they found the other brothers weak. Disappointed in his brother's cowardice, Tu Matunega, father of the humans, killed them all and ate them, condemning them to
a lot of cannibalism.
Eternal fate as his godly snacks. Only the father of the winds and storms survived in the skies. And legend has it he blows his vengeful gales against the shores every day because he's pissed off at his brother that ate all his other siblings. Now, Chinese creation, it tends to come in two stages. Pangu, creator of the heavens and earth, and Nuwa, mother of people and humanity. To this day, songs and poems about Pangu are still sang by the Zhang people of China. As legend would have it, Pangu, in his embryonic form, slept and grew within a giant black egg. Back to black eggs again.
Yeah.
It's weird. That's two sides of the world. Creation myth, giant black world, giant black egg.
Interesting.
He slept there for 18,000 years, though.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know how they came up with that time period, since we weren't using a Gregorian calendar at the time, but who knows? 18,000 years. All while the chaos of the universe slowly gained a healthy balance of yin and yang. Upon awakening, though, Pongu found himself in a bit of predicament. He was kind of basically stuck in a yin and yang sandwich.
Oh, no.
Because everything had formed like a perfect yin and yang,
like
and he was right
like
in the middle
Neapolitan
of it.
Ice cream.
Yeah, and because of the yin and yang formed around him, he was kind of an outlier. So, with a huff and a puff, he pushed the egg apart, draining the sky and the earth, while cleaving apart the fabric of both yin and yang.
With his bare strength.
Yeah. The longer he held the sky and earth apart, the more he grew, spreading the distance further and further every day. Exactly 10 feet per day. So, he took a little time.
10 feet?
Per day, yep. That's how long it took him to separate the earth and the sky. 10 feet a day. There are many versions of this myth. One of the more popular ones has Pongu die after another 18,000 years with his body forming parts of the earth and all nature with it. Now, Nuwa was one of the first deities in Chinese mythology. It's said to have existed since the beginning of time. And with an empty, albeit beautiful world remaining after death of Pongu, an understandably lonely and bored Nuwa decided to exercise her right of freedom of creative expression, promptly creating life every day for a week. Now, you want to take a guess what she started with? First thing...
Birds.
Close.
Really?
Specifically, chickens.
Oh, that'll fly.
Yeah, but she...
Because she knew the egg deal.
Yeah.
So the chickens came first, then. What we're saying, we finally settled that,
aren't we? Well, no, the egg came before the chicken.
Oh.
The big black egg came before the chicken. She created chickens, then dogs, sheep, pig, cows, horses, and then she got around to making humans.
Dogs?
We're number two, yeah.
Wow. All right. After chickens.
Yeah, right after chickens. Well, I mean, she made chickens, and then she was like, these things are the worst people to hang around.
Right.
Like, there's people that have chickens, and they're...
There's cluck and crap everywhere.
Like, they love their chickens, and you know what? They're okay, but you can't snuggle a chicken.
No.
You can try, but...
They don't like it.
No.
No.
On the last day, Nuwa took clay and began to mold it in her image. This is kind of concerning, though, because many artworks actually depict her as a snake with a human head, with a woman head, so she probably just wasn't good at art. That's how she ended up with humans with legs. After making a few hundred beautiful figures, Nuwa grew tired of the tedious work and decided to expedite the process by swinging a rope around with mud on it. As such, the beautiful clay became wealthy nobles, while the sorry splatters of mud became the common peasants.
Wow, that is really...
That's classism right there.
It sure is.
So Nuwa was basically, she's like, all right, I'm going to create this beautiful person, and boom, and she put it down.
They're gonna be
nobles. Like,
yeah.
And then she was like, I don't have time for this. Started swinging a chain around with some mud.
Just
like, those are the people.
Splashing everywhere.
Another variation of legend suggests that the rain melted some of the figures before they dried, thereby giving birth to sickness and disease, because that's just one of those casual slip-ups of an omnipotent and omniscient being that just happens every once in a while when you don't forget to put your clay underneath it.
Oh, yeah. Then you'll have disease in.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Now, if you headed up to neighboring Japan, you had Izanagi and Izanami. They were actually seventh generation deities in the growing line of kami, which are Japanese deities. The sibling couple were commanded by the older generation of gods to deal with the formless chaos that was the world.
That's
Japan
your whole thing?
Took a while to get going. We're talking seventh generation deity before they were like, all right, let's put this thing together. I don't know what
let's
they were doing.
Some order.
I don't know what they were doing before. Tasked with this monumental mission and equipped with a heavenly jeweled spear known as Ama no Nobuko. They decided to give the messy void a stir with the tip of this godly spear. As the spear was lifted back up, a drop fell off and formed an island, which would be Japan. Izanagi and Izanaman decided to settle down and build a palace there in an effort to start a family. Remember, these are god siblings.
Yeah, they're gods and deities. Yeah, they need a place. They need a physical home, castle.
And they need to do it. And there's not other gods around. So,
true.
A lot of incest. In an effort to start this family, they did what deities did, and they wanted to reproduce. They circled around a heavenly pillar in opposite directions. That's how gods do it.
That's how they do it?
Mm-hmm, yep. You take a pillar, and you just go in opposite directions. When they finally met on the other side of the pillar, Izanami couldn't help but rejoice in her great fortune, exclaiming, "What a fine young man!" Apparently, she had never seen Izanagi before, because also Izanagi was like, "What a fine young woman!
Wow, you're hot. Let's do it."
Apparently, they've been wandering this pole for a long time and actually didn't know what was on the other side. It was a picture of serenity and joy, although Izanagi did complain that his sister had stolen his initiative. She said he was hot first, and he was not happy about it.
Oh, he wanted to be the first to lay the compliment.
Mm-hmm. Unsure what to do next. apparently, again, these two don't know how to bang, so they've just been circling a pole for a while.
First base, you got to touch the boots.
The pair eventually were guided along with the help of ice with some birds.
Oh, that's like Blue Lagoon.
Mm-hmm. Birds and the bees, they showed them how to do it. And eventually a child was born. Unfortunately, this child was born limbless and without bones.
Oh, no. Thalidomide, baby.
Inbreeding.
Wait, no bones either?
No bones, yeah. So it was just a goo pile.
A sack, yeah.
Yeah. The couple were absolutely devastated, and after abandoning the child on a boat, they put it on.
That's the old, put him on a boat and push him out to sea.
They tried again.
Yeah.
Again, circling the pole, coming back, giving compliments, then watching some birds.
And they tried again and...
Discouraged this time, they went back to heaven to ask for help, where they promptly discovered that Isamani's...
It goes in her vagina.
Isamani's impatient greeting was preventing a healthy childbirth. That's right, because she was the first one to say that he was hot. She was barren.
Wow. Well, she had a bag baby.
Mm-hmm. Promptly reattempting the circling ritual, they corrected their previous mistake, and Izanami would go on to birth the islands of Japan.
Who
and
knew?
Many of the nature
manifest. If you come on to the dude first, yep, then you're going to have a
formless sack baby.
Sack baby. Skin sack baby. With no bones and no limbs. We placed it in a boat and sent it down the river to die. All right. When we return, New York City has so many problems. I'm certain this one's at the way at the bottom of the list, but they decided to go nanny state steroid, and they're going to start slapping warning labels on a bunch of stuff that you buy and eat every day. I'll talk about it next. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Yeah.
In New York City, really is the nanniest nanny state of all. I remember de Blasio banned the Big Gulp. You could certainly go buy two 16-ounce sodas if you wanted to. But over his dead body, could you get it all in one container? I don't know if that even lasted long.
It didn't.
He's the same guy that put a kibosh on area hotels contributing their leftover convention foods for free to homeless shelters because de Blasio was worried that some of it may be high sodium. Now, the city health department has issued the first in the nation edict. All fast food chains, coffee shops in New York City would have to slap a warning label on menu boards and the packaging. If the product had more than 50 grams of added sugar, that includes about 40% of Starbucks menu.
Might be more than that.
Yeah. Every fountain soda, hot chocolate, Dunkin' Donuts, any food outlet with 15 or more stores in the United States have to use it. The icon is a little spoon loaded up with heaps of sugar to alert. The proposed warning will say eating too many added sugars can contribute to type 2 diabetes and weight gain.
Does anybody not know that?
No, there's not a soul on earth that does not know this information.
Is there a bunch of idiots running around with paying $12 for a Starbucks frappe? They're like, it's healthy for you.
There may be. I once got into a habit where there was a star. I never was a big go to the Starbucks and get the coffee guy. Then one day at that station, you and I both ended up working at, there was a Starbucks really close to it. And someone came in with this frappuccino. And man, I said, man, that looks good. And I said, here, she was like, take a sip. And I was like, whoa, that's kick ass. And it was summer and it was hot. So So I'd pull through there and get a venti frappuccino. And man, it, oh, it was so delicious. And then I did it like once a day for like 3 weeks. I literally saw myself getting fatter.
Yeah, because you were drinking milkshakes, basically.
And I went to their you know, their ingredient breakdown. I was like, holy crap, I've got to stop. So many things fall under this, you know, a ton of the frozen drinks, Dunkin's and Starbucks have more than 50. One of them there, Dunkin' Donuts, butter, pecan, caramel, swirl, frozen coffee. Who says, I'll have the Dunkin's butter, pecan, caramel, swirl coffee and not know that it's got 100 grams of sugar or is bound to have a dangerous amount of sugar in it? The large vanilla bean culotta has 150 grams. Dunkin's large blue raspberry energy drink, powered by Rockstar, 100 grams. The large kiwi watermelon lemonade refresher, 74 grams. A large frozen matcha latte with almond milk, 109 grams. But it's got the almond milk.
Mm-hmm, it's healthy now.
A large lemonade, 59 grams. A hard chocolate, 63 grams. Starbucks white peppermint frappuccino has 70. Wow, really? The white peppermint frappuccino's got a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah, I had to look, the caramel frappuccino, venti size.
That's the one. Well, how many? What was it?
73 grams of sugar.
That's what. And what are the calories in it?
470.
I literally was having a dessert between breakfast and lunch. They have drafted new rules. The health cops have. They call this the Sweet Truth Act. Get it? Sweet Truth? Restaurants that ignore this law face a fine of $200 to $500 per violation. They're expecting, the department has accepted public comment on this rule. It's supposed to go into effect on June 19th for prepackaged food items, December 1st for beverages and food sold at the restaurant that is not packaged. You know, that's literally a city council deciding arbitrarily that we need to warn people about the sugar.
Yep. They're too stupid to figure it out.
I know we've got a rat problem, crime. Yeah. But look, have you seen the sugar out there? That's killing people.
Diabetes. As I'm sure those city council members each also have a Starbucks on their desk.
Yeah. They say New York is facing alarming rates of diabetes in adults and children. Communities deserve the truth about the amount of added sugar in foods and beverages offered at chain restaurants. This bill is groundbreaking and a step towards empowering consumers to make better choices and encouraging the food industry to present healthier options. De Blasio's thing was sodium. Well, he didn't know you have a big drink. But when he was the governor in 2015, New York's health department issued the first in the nation mandate requiring chain restaurants to post a warning icon next to items on the menu that contain at least 2,300 milligrams of sodium. Because he wanted to help you. Mm-hmm. I mean, wouldn't that just be, that's a city government. Should not be meddling in ingredients policing.
No, it's not their job. It's the job to make the streets safe, not to tell people that they can't drink, that they should be aware that they're drinking spoonfuls of sugar. People know that they're drinking spoonfuls of sugar.
Right.
It's sweet.
Yeah, that's why it's good. That's why they, you know, that's another thing. They don't want, you know, they want you to not have anything that's good. You know, there is a cost-effective way to grow vegetables and other crops using your own natural fertilizer at home. You can make your own fertilizer with your pee. You can't just walk over like I thought. I thought, I do that all the time late at night. And if I'm in my office and, I feel the urge, I'll just, you know, a back door out by the pool, there's the grass right there. But that's not what they're talking about. This, your urine needs to be dried. The nitrogen in your urine is not good for, like, the ocean. It, you know, promotes algae growth. But the average human flushes 132 gallons of urine down every year. That could be converted to what, to 13 pounds of fertilizer. They say your urine's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, but you have to explain it to your neighbors when you're out there drying pea trays.
He said, I just, you know, this one guy says, think about all the fertilizer we're missing out on. It's high time we start collecting and using our own waste. That's Bahir Dar, an Ethiopian researcher developing toilets that could separate the urine from remaining water and have already begun testing them. Once it's separated, it can be dried and converted into odorless, inexpensive pellets that can be spread across farmland to fertilize crops. What's that smell in your yard? I'm drying my pee. None of your business. I'm trying to grow some tomatoes over here.
It's for the environment.
I mean, they're not suggesting that you, you know, the gardener start a pee drying. They're saying on a grand scale.
I mean, why not? Why you, not if you run a lawn service, do you start leaving out some cookie sheets with your pee on it to add to the guy's lawn? I guess you probably have to tell them ahead of time.
Your whole year's worth of pee is only 13 pounds of fertilizer. I spread 13 pounds of fertilizer in my yard twice a year.
Yeah, but you have a whole neighborhood of pee. It's all there for you.
I don't want. I have some foreigners live down the street. I don't want their pee. Foreigner pee. Who's on the horn over there?
John up in Fort Walton.
We'll start to John. John, you're on the air. Go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hey guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
So, talking about that cappuccino, let me tell you something else. You know, law enforcement, they, Circle K's, Tom Thumb's, whatever, they give us free drinks, right?
Yeah.
So one day, and we got these 44 ounce, you know, get the biggest. So one day I go in, and they got this new cappuccino machine. I was like, I wasn't real familiar with it. So I said, this too. She goes, yeah, help yourself. So I filled that 44-ounce thing up, and I'm driving around sipping on that. It didn't take but about an hour. And, buddy, let me tell you, I thought I was doing speed. Yeah. I was so put all the sugar and
all the caffeine. Ounces. Yeah.
I didn't do that again.
Well, be safe out
there.
Yeah.
just kidding.
I know. John, I appreciate it, brother. Be safe out there, man.
Hey, take care, guys.
Thank you. That's the whole reason I was, it was a little pick-me-up before, you know, before work.
Yeah, and sugar's great for that. You can take just a spoonful of it also.
That's true. This does make sense. I mean, if we were serious about getting rid of using man-made fertilizer. But you'd have to install a lot of infrastructure. A separate pee.
Yeah, you'd have a pee drying apparatus in your backyard.
Or if the city wanted to reclaim it, or the state, or whatever, you'd have to have a separate sewer line for pee alone.
Do you at that point get to, like, if you live near the pee dome, do you get to, like, your housing's a little cheaper if you're the one that has to live next to
it? It's like it's a flight path at the airport deal.
I mean, housing's is cheap, but you live next to pee dome.
We didn't talk much about the non-compete thing. Federal Trade Commission has outlawed it, banned it, rather. And typically non-competes, they're in many different industries. You'll find them in the media all the time because the methodology is that you work for a radio station, or a TV station, you become a name, they promote you, and then maybe you're unhappy because then another TV station or radio station down the street goes, hey, this guy's good, let's go down there, offer him a few more bucks. It's so that you can't leave there and immediately go somewhere else. And they always tell you, at least in this industry, that part of your compensation is for this non-compete.
Yeah.
Like you're paying you for this, you know. And, you know, it was just nothing people were really happy about, but it's just one of those things. It made sense from an industry standpoint that you don't promote this guy to somebody to a superstar and they go down the street. You know, salespeople are the same way. We don't want you, you know, growing all these connections while you work for them and then go across the street to this other outfit and using all the
resources you had. Yeah.
They say it will not stop the legislative trend across the country toward greater scrutiny of non-competes. If anything, the ban will likely encourage additional legislative activity in this area at the state or local level. They believe that businesses should reassess who within their organization needs a non-compete and should consider alternatives like solicitation agreements, advance notice provisions, employee agreements of fixed duration, confidentiality agreements, financial incentives, blah, blah, blah. According to an employer survey in the playbook published, it'll be published in May, among 400 lawyers, executives, and HR professionals surveyed, many are already dialing back their use of non-compete agreements in light of recent legislative regulatory activity. I guess it's a different thing. A Wall Street broker's non-compete is different from somebody on the radio.
Yeah, they change them across the board.
About 31% say they're moderately less likely to use non-competes going forward. 34% say they're slightly less likely to use them. But you can't use them right now, right? I mean, if this goes through...
I understand they voided all of them the moment that passed.
18% said recent events didn't matter to them. With ongoing uncertainty around the future of non-compete agreements, the survey found many employers adopting a wait-and-see approach to their use of such agreements. Given the delays around the rule, it's likely to face immediate legal challenge. Many employers have been waiting for further clarity before shifting their approach to using them. Some of them, though, I mean, it gets hairy in the radio industry because, you know, so much of spoken word is online and not terrestrial. And if you're like, we're on a network in multiple markets, so it, like I couldn't work in the state more than likely.
Yeah.
Well, a very tiny little part of it. I mean, I guess there's value in it, for business owners, station owners, radio station owners.
See, I think the problem there, I don't think anybody ever argued with those. There was value to it, but I think they're the steps that got too far is there was points where people were trying to throw like non-competes on people that work at McDonald's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there were franchises that were trying to say, oh, well, if you work for me here, you can't for 4 months, you can't work at the Burger King across the street.
You'll take our company secrets with you over there.
I think that's where they started getting that's a little too far with it.
Yeah, that's baloney. You can't keep a burger flipper from flipping a burger within a 30-mile radius, buddy. I forget what mine is. It's market related. So, what other businesses use non-competes on a regular basis?
It's usually just sales. I think that's the one you hear the most about. Any company that does sales of any type, they don't want their salespeople immediately moving on to a competitor
in that market.
Yeah,
yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Complete it does. Sense.
Because of that, if you are a person that you sell equipment and you're the best at it in that area and you got 20 other companies that you're selling to and you go like, you know what, I'm going to go to guys across the street that want, and you immediately take over one of those contracts.
Right, right. Imagine that. You're like a tomato salesman. Mm-hmm. Fields Tomatoes wants to hire you, but Bob's Tomatoes got you under wraps for 60 days or 180 days. That's usually what it is, 180 days, somewhere around there. Have you seen the family that walks on all fours?
I have not.
They exist.
This is why we need to bring back the traveling circuses again. Because we don't get to see things like that anymore. I would like to pay a nickel to go down there and see, the wolf girl and the family that walks on all fours.
This family is in Turkey. They're the subject of a documentary called The Family That Walks on All Fours.
Catchy.
The Yulus family went viral. A bunch of Turkish scientists wrote a medical paper about them. Evolutionary psychologist Professor Nicholas Humphrey headed up the team that looked into the family. And the team were shocked. They discovered that 18 children born to the Yulus, 6 of them had unique disability, which resulted in them walking on all fours. The family had developed while Turkish scientists thought the family had devolved, Professor Humphrey found that a conclusion to be deeply insulting, scientifically irresponsible. But they wanted to try another answer. What else? There's got to be something. They brought some neurological people in. They did some scans. They showed that in the middle of their cerebellum, that part of the brain appeared to be shrunk. But that didn't provide any answers as to why people with smaller cerebellums would still want to be able to walk upright. They used fossil experts that analyzed the way they walked on all fours, finding it wasn't at all consistent with the way the evolutionary ancestors did. They brought in a team from Liverpool University. They found that their skeletons were different than other humans. They were stumped by what caused them to walk this way, and all they could make observations about, couldn't answer the question. When they turned to the family again, they found that their children could now walk upright after being given help from a physiotherapist and, like, equipment.
Yeah, these are just a bunch of inbred idiots walking around on all fours, and they see their parents walk around on all fours, and they think that's how it's supposed to be.
And then I would think that after you walked around on all fours, it would be difficult to stand up upright and walk upright.
That's why they need therapy for it.
They found a cause was something called cerebellar ataxia, mental retardation, and disequilibrium syndrome. Very rare syndrome that derives from an incredibly rare mutation that prevents proteins from distributing molecules of fat properly. That results in defective nerve cells, brain damage, loss of balance, which could explain why the family walked on all fours, because their balance wasn't good enough to walk upright. Like they were, had vertigo. Plus, you know, at that point, employment is very difficult to attain. When you come in for the interview on all fours?
I mean, they might be good as, like, taxis or something like that.
Look at them.
Yeah.
Pulling a plow, maybe?
This is a bunch of sister bangers that all walked on all fours. That's why they have this weird gene.
I mean, yeah, they have a ton of children, 18.
Yeah, they don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. I guess they can, can they lay down all the way outstretched, flat? Are they like permanently?
I would assume they can lay down.
Man, their neck, because you're over like this and you're looking up like a linebacker the whole time, yeah. You know? And your hands are filthy.
Oh, I bet you they got some callous knuckles.
Oh, yeah, their hands are like disfigured and bent and, ugh, terrible.
Probably can crack a walnut with their fingers.
You've never seen these people before?
I think I have seen those. I've seen them talk about them. Ripley's or probably something like that.
Right. And they're like almost a tribe family.
Yeah, because nobody wants to hang out with them.
Yeah, they got to hide out somewhere in a cave near the coast. No one sees them.
Imagine going for a walk with one of them.
No. Oh, wait, that might be good.
Can they catch a frisbee?
No, hey, it's a quarter right there. Will you get that? Can you help me find my contact lens, please? You're closer to the situation. I'm sorry. That's very bad. We might have time to get to this. This poor cheerleader in Texas, high school cheerleader, named valedictorian, got a scholarship. Then they realize they'd miscalculated some grades.
Oh, you ignore that.
You think?
Yes.
I mean, if you're valedictorian, you were named valedictorian, and you got a scholarship in part based upon that.
Yeah, who went back and who did the snooping to go back and look to see if the grades are right?
Why would you do that?
Yeah, somebody, whoever was the salutarian.
Yeah, probably the salutatorian is like, wait a second here.
Yeah.
Give me that.
Look at Miss Biggs' art class. She got a B on that.
You know, that's something that you'd have to turn the other cheek, right? I mean,
if she's already gone, it's already done. She's got the scholarship. It just goes.
She may lose her scholarship over this.
Yeah, whoever that is just being vindictive against her.
Her parents booked the family. Her other family members booked plane tickets to fly in town to watch her valedictorian speech. And now It's all over.
They said, you just ignore it. You say we miscarried the one. It's actually impressive that she got to the score because we're apparently idiots that can't figure out how to calculate the scores anyway.
All right, when we return, our buddies Kimmer and Pete and Flounder will join us. We'll get their take on the last week. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Oh. On the Kimmer, Pete, and Flounder. Congress has sent the bill to ban TikTok to Biden. If he signs it, how quick are we before TikTok goes away?
A year. I understand he signed it. So it's we're now on countdown for a year for them to sell the company to a U.S. company.
Or completely
or
split.
Be gone, yeah.
170 million Americans are on that. And it'll be available as a platform throughout the 2024 campaign. Sell it or face a nationwide prohibition in the United States. The president could grant a one-time extension, but only for 90 days. So that brings it to a year. What do you think? Should Trump win 2024? Does
he retake that away?
Does he really kiss it goodbye so that Truth Social stands to gain?
I mean, yeah, I think that's part of it. That's why I'm really surprised that they even went through with this. Other than the fact that I happened to notice there were a bunch of Congress people that happened to put a bunch of money into Meta stock again. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Nancy's one of them.
Mm-hmm. So amazing that they knew they were going to vote to get rid of TikTok and then all immediately put money into Meta again.
I don't think that it goes away, really. I think the Chinese are although communist, the government, they're pretty capitalist in a way. Don't you see them?
They said no way.
But if they sell it, do they have to sell the entire company?
No, just the U.S.
Just the U.S. part of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people say they're gonna sell it. Say TikTok's not going away. There's no more capitalistic entity than in an organization controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. They're going to sell it. That's what Tim Kaine says. Young people will go on their TikTok tomorrow. They'll still have it. And the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, they'll still have it. If you like it, you're going to keep it. I mean, I can't think of any other entity that the government has said has got to go online.
I mean, yeah, I think this might be a first.
Which leads me to think there's maybe something more to it than just the ability. I mean, right now, the ability for the Chinese Communist government to gather data on us, I'm sure there are other avenues that they've been gathering data in the United States.
Why get rid of that when we have, Chinese businesses buying up land in the U.S.? You're sold U.S. farmland, steel to Japan. So what's the difference between those and having an app like that?
The only danger I see, and you're right about the land, but they've obviously been able to utilize TikTok to usher in cultural changes in the United States that have been divisive, corrosive, and really caused chaos and turmoil here.
But yeah, I think what we're seeing here, though, is there's a good chance maybe they'll sell it, but it won't be until 6-7 months down the line when they can go ahead and start tweaking some of those code away that the Chinese government has access to.
I mean, obviously, Biden created an account. The campaign or him or the POTUS, one or the other, at a time when everyone was concerned about it being used by our adversaries to collect data and spy.
That's because some intern made it. Biden has no idea that he's on TikTok. He has zero. some intern every once in a while comes by and goes, "Oh, Mr. Biden, stand there and say something funny." And they take a video, and he walks, they wander off. He goes, "What was that?"
"That's for the TikToks. That's what they told me. I just chicken talking." Other lawmakers that in endorsing it, Maria Cantwell said that ending their divestment period, what she called her recommendation, would help ensure that there's enough time for a new buyer to get a deal done. Some lawmakers that helped negotiate it are the Democrats. Agree the reason they pushed back on the deadline was to improve the chances of a sale. Well, it's in process. So you say it's just going away.
They say it's going to go away. They said there's no chance we sell it to the U.S. I think they wait 6-7 months. They clean up their code a little bit, get out all those back doors that would, because that's part of the thing. They don't want to sell it to an American company right away because the American company gets a hold of all that source code and they can start looking and go, wow, why can Xi Jinping seem to get into everybody's TikTok?
Trump is against it. He put out on his Truth Social, he said, just so everybody knows, especially the young people, crooked Joe Biden is responsible for banning TikTok. He's the one pushing it to close. Young people and lots of others must remember this on November 5th, Election Day, when they vote.
Well, Trump's just throwing that out there because now they know Joe got something.
It's a total flip-flop because he signed an executive order in 2020 to ban TikTok in 45 days if it wasn't sold. He cited the threat posed by China and their ability under Chinese law to force the app to grant access to Americans' data and manipulate algorithms and, you know, advance Chinese propaganda. Richard Blumenthal said, I have every expectation that TikTok will be alive and well, no matter who's president. Donald Trump is obviously trying to turn it into an election issue, but considering he was in favor of banning it first, I think his warning is more baloney to be used as a polite word. I mean, he would benefit if it went away.
He would. But also, politically, he's just saying that's not going to happen.
The boys are ready from Extra 106.3.
Florida. Here he is now.
Atlanta, Georgia. The Kimmer.
How's it going, my friend? What's happening?
Flounder. How are you, brother?
Yeah, well, we're doing. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's like 80 here. It's probably 90 down there, I'm guessing.
I think 81 was our high today.
Oh,
very
really
beautiful
nice.
Here.
Yeah, beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Well, I remember when I retired down to Palm Beach Gardens at PGA National, the best times of the year we used to spend now just the times of year from around September 10th to around May 20th or end of May, and then time to go north.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful time of year for a while.
It's going to be real hot here in about a week or two.
Well, how's it going? What's up? Yeah,
It's going great here. Have you followed any of this immunity hearing at the Supreme Court?
I had a chance to listen live to it for about an hour this morning, and I am fascinated with it. I love listening to this stuff. I realize it's way over my head. I have no idea about the cases they're citing and things like that and the precedents and so forth. But to hear them arguing, and I was making the point a minute ago, Shannon, to me, the words they are saying today, the words they said today, will last forever. And they're going to make a determination of laws that have never been talked about before in America. This will change everything about American political history from now on. We're living through a time that I don't think people have any idea how serious and how new and different this is. Things that have never gotten this far before. I mean, this is an astounding time to me. I find it absolutely fascinating, bewildering and fascinating.
I think John Sauer, the president's attorney, the one in this hearing anyway, has laid out some compelling arguments. But what surprises me is that Democrats, this special prosecutor, is willing to put presidential immunity on the line and say absolutely not, he doesn't have immunity. And that just, we're in an area of setting some very dangerous precedents for the future.
Well, again, I my own opinion was, and I've heard, I think, Jonathan Turley and some other experts, professors of law and so forth, say this kind of thing. My guess is, and what it seemed to me from what I was hearing was, I'll bet you they're going to have some kind of immunity for what they call presidential duties, but there's going to have to be, the courts, I'll bet you, is going to have to set part of this case back to a lower court to determine other specifics of the law, just because it's not covered anywhere. And once the lower court makes a determination about whether the law was followed, then it goes back to the Supreme Court again. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a final decision at all. I think it's going to be a split decision. I think they're going to rule probably 5-4 for some kind of immunity for a president. But I also think they're going to send part of the case back to a lower court, and that's going to send everything into next year, and Trump is not going to be standing trial in this case until after the election. That's
wow.
That's my guess.
That's huge.
I'll bet you.
I mean, it brings so much into focus here. But, if he doesn't have immunity, then, as John Sauer put it, then Obama could be prosecuted for droning an American overseas.
Right.
Bush could be prosecuted for this, that, blah. And it just lays out all of these laws. And then the prosecutor goes, wait, he didn't break any laws.
Well, I guess the simple part to me is if you have to define. If a president was actually behaving in what he thought was his legitimate presidential duties, then I think clearly he should have immunity for those presidential duties. The problem is, what are those? What do they include? They don't include him, killing his secretary with an ashtray to the head because he got ticked off at her for spilling ink on the carpet.
Right.
You know what I mean? So clearly there's some delineation of something, but there's got to be immunity for a president. Otherwise, there's no way he could operate. I mean, although, again, we saw Michael Cohen's, didn't he have tape recordings of his secret conversations as a lawyer with Donald Trump that he revealed? That you can now have your lawyer tell what he told his client in secret?
If Monica Lewinsky claimed that Clinton raped her in the Oval Office.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
Say again?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Are those his duties to rape a girl?
And Biden could be charged with allowing the border to remain, ignoring his duties at the border, among other
absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is really an astounding case. I wish I could have heard it all. And I guess you can probably play it back. I think there's probably
there's a lot of hits out there.
Cool.
What do you make of the Secret Service brawl at Joint Base Andrews?
Man, he must have flipped out. They say he just attacked his boss and was climbing on him and beating him, and so they apparently beat the crap out of him. He had to go to the hospital, and it was a fist fight. It was a brawling, fighting fist fight, and they describe it as a medical event or something, and I'm not sure what that means. But I don't know what to tell you. Of course, that was Vice President's side piece, the Carmela Shiftless and Lazy Vice President's team. Jeez, no wonder they're all freaked out. And can you imagine hanging around with her? Oh, dear Lord.
I like that the DNC is getting together and to spitball on reasons why she is so unpopular. They discovered that her stupid laugh laugh is the main reason people think she's stupid.
Well, just play back anything she said. Oh, I love little school buses and I love my vent graphs or whatever, vent charts.
Venn diagrams. Yeah.
Venn diagrams. What the hell, Oh, yeah, well, I love those Venn diagrams. Yeah. Boy, I mean, oh, my God.
Yellow
just
school buses.
Boys and girls, you can see things that are happening in space today. It's so exciting. Oh, my God. I mean, who does she think we are? Well, she knows who we are. We're idiots.
Right.
Again, she never got a vote. She dropped out of the race for president.
Less than 1%.
Anyone ever got to vote because she was so horribly unpopular. So he picks her because he said he had to pick a chick and hopefully a black one.
Yep.
So duh, you idiot. You screwed yourself. He wasn't going to pick the old hag from Massachusetts. God. Just idiots.
This Jew hatred spreading across our campuses. Lord. Where's the... I mean, now you got Harvard. You got... they're attempting at Princeton, FSU. They're turning the sprinklers on them. I mean, it's... It's
you
everywhere.
May not have heard.
Yeah, here in Emory
University. Oh, I heard. Yeah, tasing people there.
They're rubber bullets, tasing people, wrestling them to the ground, handcuffing. They apparently took away the chairman of the Emory Philosophy Department, Noel McAfee, being escorted off campus by a police officer, handcuffed at the demonstration.
Oh, really?
Spraying tear gas, rubber bullets, dinging off the objects around them on videos that's going around, hands behind their backs, pinning people to the ground. They tried to set up a Gaza solidarity encampment in the school quad. Now, come on. I mean, and again, finally, one university after another is saying, the University of Texas says, no, we're going to take that crap.
Yeah.
USC said, we're shut down the whole school. The whole damn school's been shut down. Harvard City pops up. Princeton students are doing their own protests, and Princeton says, if you do it, you're out. Princeton University said that they're planning on setting up a Gaza solidarity encampment at 20 protesters at Princeton right now. And Princeton says any individual involved in an encampment, occupation, or other unlawful disruptive conduct who refuses to stop after a warning will be arrested and immediately barred from campus. including exclusion, jeopardize your ability to complete the semester, and possibly get kicked out of school. Princeton.
Yeah.
Thank God. I mean, it's a, you know, that's a good sign. Ivy League and these, you know, uppity-uppities and saying, you know, you can't do that here. They're afraid. They're afraid now of the reaction from everybody other than the Jew haters, which is good. Finally, you know. Jeez.
The situation in New York City that, you know, you had NYU there and you've got Columbia there and all these other universities there that this ideology just permeates. And I'm sure you've heard the audio of the two girls that came from NYU down to help out at Columbia and weren't exactly sure what they were protesting about.
No idea what they're doing. Yeah, I know. These are all professional protesters or wannabes who are just swept up in the social media, cell phone, let's all meet today and then start screaming and yelling stuff. They have no idea what the actual causes are, but they're swept up in this thing. And I still can't understand it. I don't know where they all came from. They can't really truly believe what they're screaming and yelling. I can't believe that they really want to burn and kill all the Jews.
My take on this, and I kind of stole it from an op-ed, but this person says, look, these people don't know Gaza. They don't know Palestinians. They don't know the history of that. And so this is kind of an everything-ism. Like everything that they're upset about. Roe v. Wade, trans people not being able to play in women's sports. All of these things, they're all wrapped in, they're all full of this angst. And this is just the perfect way to them to bring it all together and protest their ass off. Because a lot of people are out there saying, well, wearing shirts that say fat liberation is Palestinian liberation. Just ridiculous things that they're associating it with. So they're just all wrapped into one giant ball of hate.
It explains Queers for Palestine. And also at Emory, they had signs up. None of this cop training sites here in Atlanta, too. Had nothing to do with this.
Yeah. Anti-police stuff as well. And again, it's almost like, we've been comparing things that we've been talking a lot about the year 1968 and all the things were happening, including a big riot at Columbia on yesterday's date, which, come, and of course, it'd be in Columbia in the news today. It's all kind of fit. But I was making the point in 1968, at least when all those protests started happening, we were talking about civil rights for black people. We were talking about the war in Vietnam. I mean, we were talking about three or four very, very powerful, serious things that would change America. These days, they're all swarming together for tranny rights and the gender association, but you cut off your penis if your little boy doesn't feel like being a boy when he's 12 or something. Those are the things they're throwing all the way, and cop hating. We don't want those cops learning how to treat criminals better. The cop training center is supposed to have the ability to make police officers better police officers,
right?
And they want to shut it down.
That thing has blown my mind for years.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Why don't you simply say, God bless you, thank you, we'll help you, he'll do it this way, we'll come peacefully. I mean, it's amazing. The whole thing is amazing. But again, the reasons they're all swarming together are ridiculous compared to when it really happened in 1968, as an example. Just amazing to me as an old timer. I love looking back on
They're stuff. Eating well, though.
Yeah, and they're all mostly girls. You know, we mentioned that yesterday, too. Almost all those protesters on the campuses getting in people's faces are women.
You know what that means.
Yeah.
Target-rich environment. The liberal girls are easy. We all know this.
We've had many discussions about this. Yeah. We have done many protests in our lives.
Yeah.
Show up in a Greenpiece t-shirt and you're in.
I love to put on my sensible gun control t-shirt before I head out to the concert.
It was theater chicks
abortion
and protesters.
Is healthcare.
Abortion is healthcare at the Lilith Fair concert.
What a country.
What's new with you guys? What's happening up there?
Well, you
how's
know,
Atlanta?
We got this. It's hot and good, and the Braves are doing great. And
I saw a shootout at a gas station on the news.
Oh, and
no.
Up here?
Yeah.
Really? I can't believe it.
Well,
Whenever I take video, in fact, last
liar.
Night, I didn't take video last night. I stopped at the Shell station last night, and the gas was $4.90.
Wow.
And you buy the good
stuff, though, right?
Well, I buy the high test. But I usually, if I take a video, there's almost always a gun sticking out of my belt when I'm at the gas pump. Because, you know, every weekend you read about the, you know, gunfire at a gas station.
Yep.
I'm not goofing around, and I know they can see it. I've got, you know, I'm not hiding it.
Right, I'd be worried too.
I tell you.
So, your Braves are doing well.
You know, their record's good, and they seem happy and good, and they're
I saw Pete. You're out of the game. You've been out to see a game, right?
I did. I went out and sat in the suite the other night, and it was sweet. That's why they named it the suite, I believe.
Must be nice. Working for working
well,
there.
You need to come down, Shannon. We'll put you in the suite for an evening.
I'd love to be in the suite. Yeah. That would be sweet. That'd be fun. Where do you guys come down on the TikTok ban? We were just talking about it. It's on. It's done. It's a 9-month or a year progress where it's gone. If it's gone, some people say it's never going to go anywhere. We all know the dangers of it. Yet Biden's on it now, campaigning. Is it? I know how you feel about this stuff, Kimmer. I mean, but it's, you know, a lot of people stand to gain. Everyone in Congress is buying up Meta stock like crazy because they all know about it. What do you think? I honestly
don't have any idea what it means financially, what the stakes are, if TikTok is yes or no, or when and who gets to use it, or what. I really don't know. I don't really understand it, and the advertising links to it, and the apps and all this. I just don't understand. But I do understand this. When I was listening to a Jewish college professor yesterday talking about the people who hate all the Jews, all these Democrat women liberals who hate the Jews, and he was saying, after talking to them and researching the stuff, he realized that for every one comment on TikTok concerning support for Israel, there are 50 anti-Jewish, Jew-hating comments on TikTok.
Right.
And I heard a woman, a psychologist, the other night trying to explain why all these women are in favor of Hamas, are supporting Jew-hating pro-Hamas, who would slaughter them, who would treat them like crap. And this psychologist said, well, between social media and TikTok, all the women of the world now are suddenly victims. And so these, you know, entitled and self-loathing and guilty and angst-ridden women are saying, oh, we need to support our women around the world and our children, and they're picking on us, and now we're victims again because of those damn conservatives and those damn Jews who are bombing and stuff. So now they're turning into victimhood, and it's all spread on TikTok. And that's the issue to me. I don't know a damn thing about whether anybody's making money or who's running it. All I know is it's dangerous.
The most dangerous thing is that it can be manipulated by its Chinese owners to really manipulate ideology and change opinion and manipulate people towards cultural things and send them down rabbit holes. And I think that's largely responsible for a lot of the cultural phenomenon that's going on in America right now.
No question about it. Everybody keeps naming TikTok. And that's not even to say anything about how much information they're gathering from the American boys and girls who are signing up for it.
Right.
You know, they're capturing information that God knows what they've got. I don't understand how they do it, but I know they do it.
You could send your 9-year-old kid to bed with a new smartphone tonight and a TikTok app on it. He's going to wake up thinking he's a girl the next day.
Well, nothing would surprise me. My boy's here, keep mocking me because I'm at the stage where I don't understand anything anymore. You know, I can't work my brand new TV remote. It's a new system, and Comcast has a new system, and I can't figure it out. I hate this.
Damn this technology. It's good to talk to you guys. Everybody good up there? Flounder, you good? Yeah. Everybody's good?
Yeah. All is well, good sir. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Harley up here and spend a day or two.
I need to come up there and watch some baseball, drink some beers. Yeah,
maybe I can get my chopper fixed if I can come up with about 10 grand and we'll go for a ride.
Of course. What is that? What are you hanging laundry on that thing now in the garage?
It's kind of a hood ornament. it's a giant 800-pound paperweight.
I love you guys.
In my garage for 5 years.
Love you guys. Have a great
week. Thanks, all right, man. Talk to you later.
Cameron, Pete, and Flounder from Action 106.3 in Atlanta, my buddies. We all used to work together. All right, we're going to take a break here. I love it when they say these headlines, instead of being completely honest, the obvious is in the headline, but it says, mysterious liquid leaks down the aisle from the bathroom on a Spirit flight to New Jersey. Let's see. What could this mysterious liquid be coming out of the bathroom on a Spirit flight headed to Jersey?
What are the odds? It's Coors Light.
Just say it. It's nasty toilet runoff. This is the second one of these things we've had on an airplane toilet in as many weeks, I think.
Yeah, they're going doo-doo crazy now.
Yep. Look out. Stick around. Your remarks are next. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
That's traffic on Florida Man Radio.
their relative frequency of terms in U.S. newspapers is something that is, believe it or not, tracked. You know, like you start to hear terminology, and then it changes. You can't say, you know, illegal alien. It's got to be illegal migrant. That is legal. That it's got to be just migrant. That it's got to be a newcomer or whatever.
And it's fun to see those charts.
Right. And then some terms fall into and out of fashion. Words do as well. The word, these three words, racist, racists, and racism. The frequency of the use of those words in the main popular U.S. newspapers has gone up dramatically since the year 2010. Think about the significance of in the New York Times, for example, from 2010 to 2020, the use of the term racist, racists, and racism went up 712% in the New York Times. In the LA Times, it went up 756%. In the Wall Street Journal, it went up 468%. Surprisingly, the one of the four top U.S. newspapers that's listed on here with the lowest increase is the Washington Post. But still, a 361% increase of the word racist.
They probably came up with a new term.
Oh. Oh, you mean so like say racist without saying racist?
Yeah.
But that's really telling of the way media shapes our the way we think, what we believe is going on, even the tension that Americans have. When you start seeing the word racism, oh my God, there seems to be a lot more racism around in the United States. Well, yeah.
Because, yeah, you're using that term over and over again. They created racism out of what wasn't racism.
I mean, does that mean that after 2010, people became more racist? And by 10 years, only a decade later, there were like 700 times more racists in America than there were in 2010?
Yes, because they created the boogeyman of racism.
I don't think there's more racists or racism. I think that our perception of racism in this country is molded and dictated by major news outlets. When they want you to be tense and divided and have angst about a guy they want you to believe is some racist, the king of all racists, they just start using the word more. It pops up more in stories. You see it more. Oh my God, racism is a real problem. That guy seems to be the head of it.
Yeah, I mean, do you really think this world is more racist than it was in 2000?
No.
Yeah, it's because of the fact
way less.
But they created the boogeyman of racism. Everything around.
I know.
That's how we ended up with that ketchup's racist and mayo's racist and lamps are racist and
time is racist.
Time is racist and climate change is racist. And
but I'm sure there are people that would look at this information and go, well, Shannon, that's obviously because after 2010, there was a slow rise in white supremacy. And then by 2016, obviously, the grand cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan, Donald Trump, was the president. And through his dog whistling what are the triggering whatever secret language he uses, he called out all of the closet racists, and now everyone's a racist. So the New York Times has to report on it. I mean, they'd be remiss.
It's a duty.
Yeah. Very easy. I see Kanye West is getting into porn. What happened to the whole Jesus, Yeezy? Remember he was preaching to people and holding, giving sermons in his whatever that weirdo church of his was, and now he's making porn.
Yeah, it's going to be very Christian-based porn.
What do you, I don't think for a minute, what's the new girlfriend's name? Bianca
Censori? Yeah.
I could 100% guarantee you she hasn't chosen her clothing since she met him.
She made some weird choices.
No, that's all him.
Yeah.
No woman's going to go out, self-respecting woman, and show their coochie and some see-through outfit unless you're with Kanye West. Kanye said, put the coochie outfit on. I really do. I think he parades her like an accessory. Have you ever heard her speak?
No, I don't think I have. I think she's Italian.
Then she should be talking all the time. I mean, you, literally, you could see a beaver. Well, I mean, you know what I mean. It wasn't a beaver because there's no such beaver anymore. But, I don't know. But whatever. There's a lot of money in it. I'll tell you that. He's not stupid. But it kind of messes up your brand a little bit.
Does he have a brand other than being crazy?
You're right. His brand is fluid.
Yeah. He's.
You're right. His brand is crazy.
Whatever he can make money off, he's going to do it.
That's going to be some crazy porn. Let's get to these remarks from the Florida Man Radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. Tons of archives. Somewhere back there, I confessed to a murder, I think. You'll have to find it. Commercial free. Text the show, call the show, hit the button, and you can leave us a remark.
From the Hudson River to the Keys, Donald Trump will be free. Woo!
Hey, Shando, when I was a kid in Richardson, Texas, we had a creek that backed up to our house, and it had tadpoles and frogs and stuff, but it also had bright red, blue-clawed mud bugs in there.
All right.
And,
okay.
Yeah, so they were red before they ever got cooked.
That's right. Matt, when he was a kid, saw crawfish before.
They're red, but brownish red. They have dots and discolorations on them. They're not like red. But I get it.
I thought kissing was first base. First base is not kissing.
I don't know.
Kissing.
I thought first base was boobs over the shirt. Maybe I don't know.
It depends on the style of baseball you play.
Ah, you're right.
Man, all this God lore you're talking about with how the world was created. I'm just waiting for Clovis and Star Trek guy to start talking about all their science fiction lore. So I got a thing of popcorn right now. I'm getting ready.
Hey, boys. Love the show. Heather, good job as always. Hey, Easy, your idea of people hugging chickens, brilliant. I'm taking that straight to TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, and all the rest of them, too. And there may be truth to a rumor about an OnlyFans of me somewhat dressed with chickens. I don't even know. But it's all you, Easy. Your idea. I'm going to hook you up with royalties.
All right.
Were you saying that we need to hug chickens, or were you saying that...
I'm not against it.
All right. I mean,
if a man wants to hug chickens, sure. Hug some chickens. And if you can make some money on OnlyFans hugging chickens, do that. That's the American dream.
I had to be naked.
Zach in Kentucky, pretty sure half of my state has no idea that sugar's bad for you, but you know, I'm just guessing that by the average weight of people I see walking through Walmart. Be-doo, be-doo.
I think people know, they just don't care, you know? Oh, this was supposed to be loud. Thank you, Heather. I'll turn it way down.
Wasn't it de Blasio had some kind of press conference eating freaking McDonald's french fries? Saying you could get free french fries if you got the COVID shot?
No. What he was doing, he was saying, imagine this cheeseburger is a vaccine and how good you'll feel after the vaccine. And he took a bite. He's like, Yes. Oh, it was Bloomberg that banned the soda pop deal, not de Blasio. De Blasio's the guy that took chocolate milk out of the public schools because it was too good.
Yet
de
Blasio was promoting a hamburger, a free hamburger, if you got your vaccine. How healthy is that?
Well, that was a creepy video, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was so, and then he was just like, you call a press conference and you eat a hamburger and french fries and try somehow to relate how good it is to getting a vaccine.
This idea of the government trying to protect us still, I believe, is all based off religion. If an individual believes without a shadow of a doubt that they're going to see their God once they die, they're not scared of death. They're not welcoming it, but they're not taking extra precautions. That someone who believes that the 100 years, if you're lucky, 50, 60 years you spend on this earth is it. Like, this is it. This is all you have. The government believes it has to protect us from ourselves because they want to keep us around longer to pay taxes.
Interesting.
Hey, guys. Wow, what an awesome show today. So much to cover. You know, I don't think most people who are drinking these high-calorie content drinks and eating this junk are concerned about the calories. I'm wondering if our government's going to start giving us labels, warning labels, about the dangerous food additives that are being allowed in our food. I read that I think it's like 100 that have been banned in Europe are still being allowed here.
Yeah.
But they're looking out for us.
Yeah, they don't allow yoga pad material in the food in the UK. We're okay with it.
Yeah, well, it makes it crunchy. Well, it's kind of spongy.
You're, look at the next one. I think that's not fit for radio.
Yeah, I'd have to hear that one.
Man, I feel like a real POS because I've wasted a lot of urine that my girl...
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't talk about stuff like that on the radio.
Also, she's gross.
Yeah, that's totally... that man was talking about somebody consuming urine. And yeah, that's... can't talk about that. Like, in the manner you did.
Okay, guys. And Heather, you got to be kidding me. No limbs, no bones. Sounds like a new lunch special at KFC. Sorry. I'm sick. I get it.
You are sick,
Twitter. Me too.
You are sick. Boneless fetuses are available now. Good Lord.
Can you imagine being a manager and somebody walks in for a job and they walk on all fours and you're like, ah, crap. You know, the ADA is going to be on me. I, like, have no choice. I have to hire this person. It's over. I'm screwed.
Well, they have to be able to perform the job as it's written in the book.
What do you have to remodel the bathroom? So, I mean, how does a guy like that urinate? It's got to be really low.
Can he get on, like, a normal countertop? Or does he have to, can he throw his legs up on the countertop and eat with everybody else? Or, like, your dog when they get up there?
You know how easy it is to bone your sister when she's already on all fours.
All right.
Sorry, this will probably take two messages. Do you think Biden might be trying to sell us something and he's smarter than he thinks? We know he's a racist from way back, and we also know he's probably homophobic from the time that his dad showed him those two dudes in suits kissing each other. And he probably doesn't want young girls transitioning over to be males so he can keep sniffing their hair. So what does he do? He appoints two moronic black women to VP and Supreme Court justice. He appoints a dumbass as a...
Don't forget the fruity tooty he/she that with the lipstick with the bald head that had an affinity for stealing women's luggage.
Which would be Lloyd Austin. He appoints a gay man that's incompetent to run this transportation department. He appoints a trans woman to run the health and human services, and also a nuclear waste disposal guy.
Yeah, lipstick.
Who has a fetish for stealing women's clothing at airports. So. I don't know. Just something to think about. Yeah.
That's DEI for you.
What's he up to?
Who?
Sam Britton. They haven't really talked about him lately.
No. I don't know if if justice has been served yet.
That all fours family with 18 kids? Probably not a whole lot of missionary going on there. Probably a lot of doggy.
So observant of you, sir.
Hey there, boyos. Johnny Boy up in Fort Walton Beach. So, you're talking about that family that walks on all fours. That's just straight loony. But at the same time, they have 18 children. Oh, for Christ's sake. I mean, at least they probably mastered the art of doggy style. They should probably start an OnlyFans and support those children, for Christ's sakes. Beedoo, beedoo.
They'd make a fortune on OnlyFans.
Yeah, it's time to click on for the all four people, on all four people again.
So, I got a question regarding this family on all fours. How did the man meet the woman? I mean, was he at a bar and he saw her get off her stool and walking on all fours and he was like, I'm going to marry that woman. And also, too, just a simple observation, really Captain Obvious, but I think that all those 18 kids were probably conceived doggy style. Hey-o!
They met when, coincidentally, they both lost a contact lens. In a hotel lobby.
More than likely, they both met when they were still living in the same house with each other because their parents hadn't let them go.
Hey, what's
Biden signing a bill for TikTok has to affect his votes with the young people. They're not going to be too happy.
That was really low. Yeah, I don't think he's going to ban it till. Obviously.
Banning TikTok is just the government's way of getting their freaking foot in the door. They're going after X or anything else that they don't like. This is reprehensible. I cannot believe. Well, yeah, I can, that it would pass.
Yeah.
Hey, Shannon. Hey, I was watching some protests live up in University of Minnesota a little while ago, and an agitator had his phone taken away. About three or four guys and gals actually kind of ganged up on him. One of them takes him down with a chokehold. So these aren't violent, huh? Beat him.
I think the ultimate way Trump can troll the court is if he brought a deck of cards, started playing solitaire, or built a house of cards, or even better, brought one of those little ships in a bottle and started making a model out of it.
That'd be hysterical. I'm making the Mayflower. Oh my God, that was hysterical.
Congratulations on y'all's billboard on I-4. Looks pretty good, guys. Well done.
Thank you.
If you're a moron and you know it, Palestine. If you're proud and want to show it, free Palestine. Just go visit when you can, but you can't dress like a man. Guaranteed a bad plan, free Palestine.
Hey, you were talking about the Big Bang Theory at the beginning of the show. The Big Bang Theory works great if there's magic at the beginning. Be-doo.
I'm not endorsing one or the other.
The Kimmer forgot to mention the remote he's talking about from Comcast is the one that they've had for 10 years.
I had that remote. It's the easiest one ever. I missed my believe it or not, my cable company in Atlanta because you just held down a button and said, turn on The Sopranos season 4, episode 3. Boom. It was just amazing.
Hey, what's up, Shando? Easy.
Who might this be?
Sparky 352.
I knew it.
I've never been on an airline or an airplane flight that the septic backed up on. I mean, I've always had a septic tank my whole life. And that's how you get doo-doo in your house. I guess that's how you get doo-doo in a plane. Love Pete and Kimmer. Great show. Be-doo, guys.
You ain't racist. You're ethnically diversity challenged. You got a problem. Talking about racism for other people. You're challenged in the diversity of their ethnicity.
You're right, Shannon. We can thank the mainstream media, Joy Reid, and, you know, the View, and especially our former president, first name starts with O and ends with Bama. I mean, they just fabricated all this racism. It's sickening, really, but I will say, too, Heather Has Answers is really getting good these days.
It is.
It makes me feel much better about my life. Love you, B2B.
We're right here.
I was wondering if anybody else thought it would be fun turning Spanish fighting bulls loose at these campuses where they're camping out and protesting. That would be fun to watch. Be-doo.
Robot flamethrower dog comes to mind.
Yeah, and I'd feel bad for one of the Spanish fighting bulls to run into one of those ladies that's out there for this protest and just smash into it.
That commercial where you text in a name of a country that doesn't have an A in it.
Don't give it away.
Mexico, Puerto Rico.
Whoa.
Wait. And Peru.
Oh, you forgot Tonga.
What's up, boys? Calling Atlanta number 2. Shannon, you're racist as hell, man. Everybody knows it. I mean, I couldn't even tell you why you are, but, you know, you just are. You know. Anyway, good to hear from Pete and Kimmer and the boys and... And always good to hear from them. And the Braves are red hot. Got the best record in MLB right now. Nice. Although we're playing the Cleveland Indians tonight. Oh, crap. I meant the Guardians. That was racist as hell.
Oh, racist. You know, I don't follow baseball, seriously. But when I lived in Atlanta, I loved going to games.
Yeah. I can't sit and watch it on TV, but it is fun to go to games.
I got some dirt from the old Turner Field for the close it down. Yeah, it's fun.
Good afternoon, fellas. Kanye's porn is going to be missionary only.
Come here, let me hug you again.
I think chickens make great pets.
Listen, buddy, first base is kissing. Hand over the bra with the boobs. Second base is bare boobs. Third base is Cheeto fingers. Beat it.
Hey, Shannon, so here's your break it liberal brain divide by zero moment for the day. So allegedly, we've all become more racist, even though it's baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Z, and millennials that are all alive today who are all raised in a post civil rights struggle, post segregation society. So, if liberals own the education centers and the culture, is it not the liberal to blame for the racism? Yep. Question mark?
Yes. And I would say within that wider field of liberals, you can attribute a lion's share of the pie to academia.
Yes, because they decided to go into schools and tell all the kids they're racist, even though they've not been outside of school, but right. You're racist.
You're that way because you were born with certain characteristics that you had no control over. Yeah.
Kanye making porn, that's going to be some of the weirdest stuff ever.
Yep.
There's going to be some really whacked out stuff. What's he going to call himself? Pornier?
Pornier.
Yeah, dingo.
Pornier.
If the government gave a damn about any of us, they would have never put Joe Biden in office.
Just remember, the FDA allows a certain amount of rat excrement in food.
True.
Yeah, in Europe, they don't allow you to put fillers in spaghetti. Here, if you see enriched on the macaroni product, that means there's a bunch of crap in there you don't want to be eating. And you can get it here that's not enriched.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. Hate to say this, but Bill de Blasio, his real name is it just like a right-wing Nazi. It's like John Van Kruger,
no.
Like the guy off of Archer. You remember that mad scientist guy?
It's Werner. I don't know. It's very.
I knew there was a reason I enjoyed urinating outside as much as possible.
Nature's toilet.
Man, that's gross. That pee guy and his girlfriend have been watching way too much hardcore porn.
He's William. Warren Wilhelm.
Well, yeah, Warren Wilhelm.
They can't take X away from Elon Musk. With their track record they've already got going on, the last thing they need is to steal another thing from an African American.
Yep.
Hey, he left Belgium off the list. Bito Bito.
Egypt. Peru.
You're also forgetting Fiji. And possibly a few other ones. I've been listening to this commercial for a while, and yeah, I'm like going hardcore trying to rack my brain thinking of countries without A's in them.
Are you really winning something if you've got months to Google it?
No.
let me one more. We got to call it a day.
You just made a good point, Shannon. That's why they're focusing so much on people's skin color now, because like you said, they could just, you're racist, but you were born that way.
Yeah.
You can't help it, but just know you're a racist.
And you can't change it. Those are the remarks for today from the Florida Man radio app powered by Morris Family Farms. Our last break. We'll come back to wrap it up for you. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Yo.
Connecticut, Ned Lamont. Not enough people being named Ned these days.
No, it's a lost art.
Yeah. He's got a beautiful home, sprawling Greenwich spread there. And he's purportedly a big environmentalist. He champions the statewide effort to plant more trees. But he's just recently been hit with a citation because he ordered more than 180 trees in a protected wetland area to be cut down so that he could have a better view of the pond from his $7.6 million sprawling Greenwich home.
Yeah, but did you see them? They were ugly-ass trees. His view's much better now.
I mean, they're calling it the local chainsaw massacre there. People are like, I've never seen anything like this. Good Lord, that's a bit of an overkill. The neighborhood is obviously deeply disturbed and devastated by it. I guess they're trying to take some action, but that guy's like, I can't see the pond. Look.
Just Manuel.
Yeah, Manuel, take your crew out there. Take about, you know, every tree from here to there, from left to right.
And they did. They were just stacked in the woods.
He just left them there. That's it for us today. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Easy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Thanks to Kimmer and the boys. We're back tomorrow at 2 Eastern, 1 Central. We follow the great Don Miller, hysterically funny. And he follows Bubba the Love Sponge. There's two guns on him at all times, at least. We'll see you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm Shannon Burke. Have a good night.